Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Audio bandwidth for This Week in Tech is provided by the new WinApp for Android, featuring wireless sync and one-click iTunes import. Now with free daily music downloads and full-length CD listening parties. Download it for free at winamp.com/android. Video bandwidth for TWiT is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is TWiT, This Week in Tech, episode 325, recorded October 30th, 2011. Squeezing Little Lemons. TWiT is brought to you by GoToMyPC. Stay connected with GoToMyPC, the missing link that turns your iPad into a computer. Download the free app and visit GoToMyPC.com for your free 30-day trial. Promo code TWiT. And by Carbonite Online Backup. Automatic, continual, and unlimited backup for your computer files for only $59 a year. Try it free at Carbonite.com. Use the offer code TWiT and get 2 bonus months free with purchase. And by Audible.com. Sign up for the Platinum Plan and get 2 free books. Visit audible.com/twit2. And don't forget to follow Audible on Twitter. User ID audible_com. It's time for TWiT This Week in Tech, the show that covers your... What are you looking at me funny for? Oh, my gosh. Hello, Little John. That covers all your tech needs. This is our Halloween edition, and I guess everybody's in costume today. But before we begin, we need to press the green button. Would you do the honors, Little John? A little harder. I'll do it for you. So, that signals the start of the show and electrocutes somebody in the state of Texas. So it's very exciting. Yeah. Jolie Odell is to my left, cowgirl Jolie Odell.
Howdy.
From VentureBeat.com. Good to see you. Thank you for coming all this way.
Thank you for having me.
It's nice to see you. To your left, in the avatar, that's what we call those little TV sets on the table, Mr. Ed Bott from ZDNet.
Greetings. Greetings.
Ed Bott blog. And his little friend, Walwart. What's his name?
Pee-wee.
Pee-wee.
Pee-wee Herman.
Hey, Ed Bott. Good to have you.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Ed and I... regularly did a radio show in the early 90s with this fellow over here, King John C. Dvorak.
Hello.
That finally... Wait a minute. You got to get your jewel oriented to the front. Not good enough. It's really tight crown. There you go. Actually, that now you look like the Grand Vizier from Aladdin. Can't get it off. Butter.
So things have been going well here.
Butter. All right, I'm taking off the head. It's too hot. You may remove your crown and if you wish, your peewee doll.
Staying.
You're staying?
I'm staying.
I like it. I think it's good. It doesn't even look like a costume on you, Julie. It feels like this is how you dress.
She looks like she should be wandering around the streets of Petaluma yelling, hey, you.
Hey.
Various people.
You want hey? So, has anybody been spending hours and hours, as I have all week, reading John C. Dvorak biography, the Steve Jobs biography?
No.
Oh, you no.
You're listening to it on, you don't, you know.
I'm listening. That counts as reading it.
No.
I get the same words you do.
Yeah, but you don't have the same psychological effect.
What psychological effect?
I mean, you got to listen
to you reread, and you have a kind of relationship with the words as a writer.
These two belong together.
No, I'm telling
you,
she's
both
right.
Cranky.
Just all you have to do is read Marshall McLuhan. It's the medium is the massage or the message. And
different side of your brain, Leo.
I have the hardcover book. I have a Kindle version. I have an iBook version, and I have the Audible version.
I'm
reading as well. I'm reading and listening.
No, you changed it. You changed the story.
Well, you know why I did get the hardcover book? Because I wanted to underline it and annotate it. So that, you know, because I want to frequently, it's been hard not to talk about it. So you see, it's heavily underlined and annotated. Did you see in the New York Times Mona Simpson's very touching obituary?
Wow. They printed this. This is a toner printed book.
What do you mean toner? You mean it's like laser printed so they can get it out faster?
Yeah.
You mean it's cheaply printed?
No, it's not cheap. But this, I
you can tell.
I would bet money. Yeah,
that it's not ink.
I would bet money. I would bet money. This is totally.
So is that, dude? Is that common now in books? In print, I think, in effect,
books are eventually.
Isn't that? There's a certain irony to the fact that Steve Jobs, the guy who really brought us laser printing, affordable laser printing.
His book would be stunned if this was not done with the toner-based.
How interesting. It is revealed in Mona Simpson's obituary what Steve Jobs' final words were. Seriously. Shall I read this?
Yeah.
Yeah, please do.
She talks about their relationship. It's actually beautiful. I believe this is the eulogy that she read, actually, at his service, because she refers to, you know, people in the auditorium and so forth. She says, Steve was like a girl. How about that in your eulogy? Steve was like a girl in the amount of time he spent talking about love. Love was his supreme virtue as God of gods. He was a romantic. Isn't that funny? I would not have expected that. But let me continue on to the final moments. So he knew he was going to die. He died on Wednesday. Tuesday morning, he called his sister, Mona Simpson, his estranged sister. Remember, he was adopted and didn't know his mother and his biological parents until he was about 25. He found her and her daughter, who was his full sister, Mona Simpson. She turns out to be a fairly well-known novelist. Tuesday morning, she writes, he called me to ask me to hurry up to Palo Alto. His tone was affectionate, dear, loving, but like someone whose luggage was already strapped onto the vehicle, who was already beginning his journey, even as he was truly sorry to be leaving us. She started his farewell. I stopped him. I said, wait, I'm coming. I'm in a taxi to the airport. I'll be there. He said, I'm telling you now because I'm afraid you won't make it on time, honey. When I arrived, he and his wife, Lorene, were joking together like partners who lived and worked together every day of their lives. He looked into his children's eyes as if he couldn't unlock his gaze. Until about 2 in the afternoon, his wife could rouse him to talk to his friends from Apple. This is how I want to go, John. Surrounded by friends, family, alert to the end.
And you want, when we do the eulogy, like on a lively podcast, that we start off with something
with
depressing
hats.
Like this, so we
yeah.
can...
Actually, I'd prefer that.
Get the,
of course you
get
want
the
that.
Audience engaged.
You don't want him to be engaged. Somber. And I think he'd particularly enjoy the Android pumpkin behind me. You know how much he loved Android.
Oh, Lord, this is terrible.
Wait a minute. Okay. He made it through the night. Lorene next to him on the bed sometimes jerked up when there was a longer pause between his breaths. She and I looked at each other, then he would heave a deep breath and begin again. This had to be done. Even now, he had a stern, still, handsome profile, the profile of an absolutist, a romantic. His breath indicated an arduous journey, some steep path, altitude he seemed to be climbing. Steve's final words were monosyllables, repeated 3 times. Before embarking, he'd looked at his sister Patty, then for a long time at his children, then at his life partner, Lorene. And then over their shoulders, past them, his final words were, oh, wow. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. I'm not kidding. Those were
his... Are you auditioning for the next reading of the book? Is that the deal?
Those were his final words. Oh, wow. He was a hippie to the end. Isn't that interesting?
I mean, my mind is blown.
By that?
Well,
you'd think he'd say something profound, although in some ways, oh, wow, is profound.
Well, it is completely profound because it makes you think about, like, what is he seeing or feeling
right.
that's making him say those things? And it's like Day of the Dead type stuff, like the veil between what we know and what we don't know is so thin. And Steve Jobs is dead. It's, like, huge. And so God knows what he was, I mean.
Yeah, he was seeing the light.
Maybe, God knows.
He might have seen the light. Oh, yeah. And he's going, oh, wow, like, oh. Wow. Now, remember, in the book, he says that half the time he was a believer, half the time an atheist. He couldn't decide.
Yeah.
And maybe he was finding out the truth at the end and saying, oh, wow. Or maybe, you know.
Is this where this show has gone?
No,
this
I'm
is
just.
Heavy for
I
podcast,
think this is
man.
Very interesting. First
this
of
week
all.
Week in religion? T-W-I-R.
Twer?
Twer?
Sounds like a Beyonce thing.
Oh, wow, oh, wow, oh, wow.
You need an L at the end there. So this week in religion and life.
There you go, twirl.
Twirl.
Now, I like that.
I think there's a software package already named that.
And I'm really not making light of it. I think as you do, Jolie, he could have said clatu barata nicto. We don't,
No, you're not making light of it.
I'm not.
He started talking in Klingon during the at the
no,
end.
I think he said, "Oh wow, oh wow, oh wow," is very interesting. After your whole life, you live your whole life, ups and downs, tragedy, comedy, your whole life. You come to the end of this, and you want some great insight. What would your last words? I know what your last words would be, Rosebud.
No, you sound like "fuck off, get away."
That's your last
something
words,
like that, you know.
That's your last words.
It's got to be something like that. It has a reputation to uphold.
What would your last words, Jolie, be? Because you know it could happen to us any time. I mean, you're a young woman, but it could happen as you walk out the door here. A bus could run you down.
That's true.
There's
well,
no then bus
in which case you'd say,
"Oh
ow, oh ow, oh ow,
oh ow." Oh, for shame.
Oh.
Well,
I'm making
I don't
light
know.
Of it. I just
I don't know. I don't presume to have any idea. I have no idea about what comes next or when we all die, what happens, or if anything happens at all. But I hope it's something worth saying, "Oh, wow," about. I hope it's wonderful.
You know what would have been interesting? Hmm? If he'd said, "Oh, one more thing."
Oh.
And behind, we do have a new product.
Wouldn't that happen?
Yeah, one more thing.
Oh, another revelation. He loved the Japanese designer Issey Miyake so much, he got him to design the trademark black turtlenecks. And he ordered hundreds of them, and he had them in his closets.
Hundreds?
Literally. Huh. And he just, and that's all he wore. He felt he should have an iconic look. This is really not so long ago, maybe 8 years ago, that he should have an iconic look. And he ordered 100 or more T-shirts from Issey Miyake. I think that's kind of, I think it was quite beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Well, didn't Anna Wintour do kind of the same thing? Like, she had was one iconic thing that she ordered.
The editor-in-chief of Vogue. What was that?
Yeah. I forget. But I think that's kind of, it speaks to how he merges traits of, you know, technical genius with creative genius. He does that weird egomaniacal creative genius thing.
Exactly what the book, really, if you take away and I'm not going to talk, we've been talking about it all week, but I'm not going to belabor this.
Why stop now?
The final lesson from the book is that what Jobs really was good at is merging the artistic, creative, intuitive side with the rational, technical side. Mm-hmm. And I think that is really what I came away with, was that was his real ability, was to bring those two sides together. Ed, you wrote an article actually about Steve Jobs and the battle for the living room. His last product might indeed be an Apple TV, you think?
Well, it's been rumored since, 2006, 2007? It took like 4 or 5 years for the iPad to come into being. So I think but I do believe that what he told Walter Isaacson is probably accurate. And I would say that when we see iCloud fully implemented, that you'll get a lot more hints of what's going to be in an Apple TV next, when it finally comes around.
Right.
But it's at least a year away, and maybe two.
Right. He says in the biography, "I'd like to create an integrated television set that's completely easy to use, seamlessly synced with all your devices and with iCloud. It would have the simplest user interface you could imagine, and here's the important part. I finally cracked it." Some say what they believe what he's talking about is Siri, that he was the voice control. Does that make sense? Play Gossip Girl.
I like the theory.
Record next week's Gossip Girl. Something like that.
Yeah, and then it won't do anything. Of course.
Well, that would
these
be
things
in
don't work.
Yeah. Or shut up, Phil.
Because the real problem with all of this stuff is the business relationships with the
right.
Hollywood content providers.
Impossible.
That was the cracking the code for the iPod and iTunes meant working out business deals with every single one of the major music labels so that they gave him the rights to sell digital copies of their music and then ultimately unprotected. And that's the code that has to be cracked in order for something to work in a TV format. That's
you know how he did it with the music industry was piracy. He said, "Guys, you're getting robbed blind by pirates." He said, "It's bad karma. I don't want people to be suffering the bad karma of stealing music. We're going to make it possible for them to buy it." The music industry didn't want to sell 99-cent songs. They didn't want to break up albums. They absolutely were terrified of digital distribution. But they realized that because of piracy, if they didn't give people a way to get it legally, they were dead meat. Is that also going to, I mean, piracy is becoming a problem in movies and television. Is that going to move the movie and TV industry?
Well, so Apple's going to buy BitTorrent. would be the logical conclusion of that. I don't know that piracy is such a big deal on the video side. You know, there's a lot of BitTorrent users, but they're this much of the market. Whereas, because it's difficult to get BitTorrent going. You have to be kind of geeky.
Yeah, and they're giant files. It can only be popular stuff. If you try to pick up some old classics, you'll never get them off of BitTorrent.
Go ahead and get Casablanca.
But with CDs,
yeah, good luck.
You can do it. There are a lot of, it's becoming less. I have nothing to say about anything.
Now.
I have never downloaded a file illegally.
I BitTorrent stuff all the time. It's okay. You can admit it.
Lying on a Sunday.
You're amongst friends.
Okay. Well, no. There are a lot of more user-friendly web clients now and downloadable software.
Transmission is very simple, not complicated.
And I think it used to be complicated, and I think it's becoming less complicated as people are discovering that, oh, why am I paying when it's all out there free, and why am I making it hard on myself?
So do you think it's a threat to the industry, and do you think that they know that?
I think that is one industry that's keeping up a little better than the music industry did because they're doing deals with Netflix and with Hulu. And
that Netflix deal's really interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, the whole thing, and then being able to buy some shows on iTunes, I think.
Yeah, but I was so frustrated. I wanted to watch a show on ABC this week.
Was it Gossip Girl?
No.
You can tell me.
Hey, by the way.
Suburgatory.
Okay.
That's terrible. Terrible show.
Don't say that because my friend is the star of it.
It's terrible.
The young girl, Jane Levy. Family friend. We grew up with her. She's a wonderful girl. She lived just down the road. But it might be a terrible show.
Grimm.
But I never
Grimm.
Saw it.
See Grimm.
I want to see it, but I've
Grimm's
never
great.
So I'm trying to watch Suburgatory because I want to see Jane, not because I want to see the show.
You better see it soon.
Well, I'll tell you. No. They got a whole season.
Sure they do.
But ABC, it's not on Hulu. It's not on Netflix. It's not anywhere. It's on the ABC website, and it's only there for a couple of days. I couldn't watch last Tuesday's episode.
Oh.
2 nights. Well, that's stupid, isn't it?
Yeah.
Why do they do that?
Because they're stupid.
Because I'm
Suits.
Not going to...
That's why you don't work for these guys anymore.
Suits.
Suits.
So Dana Brunetti was on Triangulation. He's a producer. The guy who produces Social Hour. He was on this week on Triangulation. He is the guy who sold House of Cards to Netflix. This is a full series. It was a British series, very successful. It's going to be about Congress, not about Parliament. It's a prestige production. Kevin Spacey stars. He was able to sell it to Netflix. He's very excited about that because Netflix not only paid him more, but gives him a lot more flexibility. This is the beginning, isn't it, of disintermediation, of eliminating the networks. Did I say the Social Hour, the Social Network? Thank you. I always say that wrong. It's the Social Network. We have a show called the Social Hour. It's wishful thinking.
It's the Social Network?
You know that one, Facebook? The show, the Zuckerberg movie?
Yeah.
He produced that.
Okay, and so he's got a series called The Social Network?
No, it's called House of Cards.
Oh, okay.
It's the first. There are others now. Netflix has bought a couple of others. But don't you think that's interesting that they have the money to spend? Maybe not anymore.
They have the money, but do they have the expertise? I think that's the thing that's been
They don't need the expertise because they go to the producers who make the show, right?
So they hire the expertise
they hire.
From Hollywood.
And this is what he says.
Money.
He says the smart people in Hollywood...
The oxymoron
are the content people, not the producer, not all the other people, right?
Suits.
And they're making the suits, they're making the deals, and that's the future. And they realize that's the future, and it's the suits. He said the problem with the suits is they know it's going to happen. They just say not on my watch. That's what Cory Doctorow said about the music industry too. They're just holding on till they retire, and then they know it's going to all change.
So this is Netflix that was doing
Netflix
this?
Bought. He didn't say. Wouldn't say how many episodes. He said it's more than we would have sold to the network. They were this close. They were literally a day away from selling it to a network. They're about to do the deal, and Netflix called, and they decided to do the deal with Netflix Listen to what they got. Creative control. Isn't that what every artist wants? More money. Good. And Netflix. I don't know how Netflix is going to distribute it. Are they going to do it once a week? They don't need to. That's a television trope. They could. Do what they do with Breaking Bad, just put all the episodes up and watch them. But wouldn't you pay for Netflix streaming if there were programs that you could get there that were really good that you could only get on Netflix streaming? Doesn't that help them?
I think promotion is a huge part of what networks have. And
good point.
Netflix.
They don't have it?
They don't have the ability to do promotion like that.
They have to
yet.
Buy more ads on Twit. Just saying.
Do they buy ads on Twit?
They do. But I think that you're absolutely right, Julie. Because the cross-promotion...
I mean, what makes
no,
you
No,
you
go off on their stock.
That's okay.
But that's the thing is, I think people are saying that Netflix is dead And I don't know if it's dead. I know the movie industry would like it to be dead, right? And that's what's really been happening.
Who is this they with a capital T that's saying
everybody?
Netflix
doesn't everybody say Netflix is dead?
Okay, who's this everybody with an E?
The stock market. The Wall Street says Netflix is dead.
I don't trust the stock market as a barometer of what people actually think and how companies are really performing.
I agree.
I mean,
but their value, they could put them out of business by just making their stock be a buck.
I think Little America is not going to let Netflix die just yet.
No, in fact, new study says that Netflix takes up 32.7% of internet bandwidth.
But it's dead. Remember, they said so.
One third of all the internet bandwidth used is Netflix.
Yeah.
It's pretty high.
Pretty high. Well, this is from Sandvine, too. These Sandvine guys are actually pretty smart.
Don't believe everything you read on the internet, man.
Well, I believe this. Sandvine analyzed 200 internet service providers in 80 countries. This isn't just the U.S. Mm-hmm. And found that real-time entertainment apps.
And look at that. Prime time, 6 to 10 p.m. is the peak times for people watching crap on Netflix, just like they would on their television.
I know. They don't need to, but they're home from work.
Yeah.
My daughter watches in the middle of the day, but she doesn't have a job. See, most people have jobs. really. Netflix, she's a
student.
Actually,
in this country, that's probably not true.
What? People don't have jobs.
No,
right.
Everybody's unemployed.
Everybody's unemployed. Yeah. So Sandvine says 60% of peak downstream traffic is real-time entertainment apps. That's up from 50%. Can I say that again? Between peak hours of 6 to 10 p.m., 60% of downloading traffic is entertainment, is Netflix and its brethren, Hulu and all that. 60%!
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the bandwidth, though. So a single click...
Well, that's true.
On a Netflix program is going to take hundreds of megabytes of stuff. And I can click 1,000 web pages and not even come close to a third of that amount of bandwidth.
And get more entertainment value for your dollar.
And a whole bunch of cat videos on YouTube, which, by the way, YouTube did something similar this week.
Yes, let's talk about it.
They launched their initiative, their new Google TV, and they're going to have a bunch of YouTube channels that they're funding that sound in a way like a low-budget version of what Netflix is doing, as you just described it.
They signed deals with Shaquille O'Neal. I don't really understand what they're going to do. They have $100 million at least that they budgeted for this. They signed deals with people like Martha Stewart, Shaquille O'Neal, to do channels, right? So do you have an insight, Ed, into what that's going to be? Is it going to be you'll go to the Shaquille O'Neal channel? There are going to be 100 channels.
And in fact, I think this is the, throw it up against the wall and see what sticks.
I agree.
Approach. And most of it's sticky.
I think this also covers up the fact that Google released their transparency report.
Oh, we got to talk about that. Wait a minute. Let's not shift because that's a good story. I will do that after the break. Let's finish this. But the break where we sell things. I got a slap chop. You ever try it? Oh my god!
Slap chop.
You're gonna love it.
I have a story for you.
Really?
Yeah, I used to work for.
Let me see. Do you have all five fingers? You worked for somebody who sold slap chops?
Yeah, the guy who made them.
Really?
I did. We'll talk that kind of crazy off the air.
Wow!
No, we want it on the air.
You worked. Wait a minute. But this must have been
not the guy.
This is when you were right out of school or something. You were young. You didn't know.
I was in between jobs.
Last week, actually.
I was doing a lot of consulting. This was in 2008, right after the big crash. Yeah, I mean 2008. I guess that's recent.
Not the guy. Not the ShamWow guy.
Not the ShamWow.
Same guy.
Oh, it's the same guy. He invented the slap chop.
Yeah.
Well, you don't think somebody else invented it? He was the master of slap chop.
The guy was brought in as a shill.
No, he's
wait
like
a minute.
Whole...
What's his name?
So he's a genius.
I love this guy.
No idea.
Oh no, you don't.
Oh really?
Girl, Google him sometime.
Is he a? Oh yeah, he's the guy who punched the prostitute or whatever.
Yeah,
she's biting his tongue.
Yeah, but were you with Vince when that happened?
Crazy. No, but I had to go on a business trip to Europe, where we went and toured the places in Germany where they actually make the ShamWow. We were trying to get a better deal on them, and then
you know it's made in Germany. Germans make great stuff.
They do. Camera guy. And we had to go to the embassy. It was a nightmare.
Oh my God.
I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to. I don't want to watch this guy.
Bring up the audio. Let's hear Vince.
I think
slap it. Look at that. and slap it.
Home fries. Home fries. And look at this. But you add look a mushroom. The more you
look
do
at
it,
this.
That's not enough food to feed a cat.
You love salad.
I love salad. I hate making it.
Making salads.
I do, Vince. Tell me, I have no salad in my diet. Oh, poor Joe. Wait a minute. Stop this. Stop this. Jolie is like having. I'm not kidding. She's like
about to pass out.
She's swelling up like a balloon.
Excuse.
Oh. Does anybody have one of those EpiPens? This could be bad.
I'll take some.
Does that cowgirl outfit have a gun attached to it? Because Leo, I'd
it
be
has
careful.
A monster belt buckle. So
yeah,
she could poke me. Yeah, anyway, so Google has 100 new video channels.
Joke there. Go on.
I'm trying to think. Participants include Madonna, Shaquille, comedian from Saturday Night Live's Amy Poehler.
I thought it was Paulin.
How do you pronounce that?
Poehler.
Ashton Kutcher. Rainn Wilson, Doug, who plays Dwight Schrute on The Office.
Yep.
Deepak Chopra. Sofia Vergara, the hottie from Modern Family.
She is hot.
But what are they going to do? What is Sofia Vergara just going to say, hello, this is my YouTube channel?
I would watch that.
You would?
Yeah, I would. She's a lovely lady.
And what's she going
to
do?
Does she need to do anything? Come on. Not really.
So, I mean, you can sign up these people, but there's more to people than to make a channel, right?
I think they're going for the long tail of those kinds of super fans who would watch Sophia
and doing do anything.
Nothing or anything or breathe for like a couple hours on end.
Would you watch?
I don't know. They're just trying to catch lightning in a bottle.
I agree.
I think they just think that something
will stick.
Maybe one of those things is going to hit and go viral, and then they can turn it into a business.
No, but
maybe they paid $100 million to get a better idea for the next way to do television. The next way to do
it is the next. But see, I think this is the next way.
Well, they're just like they're shaking it and they're paying for gold, trying to find it. I don't think that this is it.
No one knows. Well, maybe not Madonna, but there's an Onion channel. That's a good start, right?
Yeah, well, they already did all that.
They already have the Onion News
stuff.
Network, right?
Yeah,
so what do they get?
Thing.
What is, there'll be a wrestling channel, Slate. There'll be a fitness channel.
A wrestling
but
channel.
I think Shaquille O'Neal's got it nailed. He's going to do the Comedy Shaq Network.
Yeah, that should be fantastic.
He's a funny, funny man.
Shaquille, is he?
Actually, he's got a
funny?
Sense of humor, but he's not that funny.
See, I think he thinks he's funny because when he's in a room and he says a joke, people laugh because they're scared to death.
Yeah.
But it may not translate on the TV. I'd laugh if he were standing right here. I think this is, something's happening. Now, remember, Fox, ABC have blocked their content from Google TV. This is that ABC. I'd like to pitch YouTube a new channel. It's the Leo Puppet Channel. John's just acting out. Google TV, speaking of which, 3.1 just came out. It's got apps. It's got content apps.
Apps.
I'm glad. I have the $299 Logitech brick. I'm going to say I'll take it out of the closet and fire it up and update it.
So I've started to use Chrome because everybody's using Chrome. It's a big deal. Let's use Chrome because it's faster and better.
I'm using it right now.
I got my last version of Mozilla's Firefox. It doesn't give me sticky folders. So when I go to download something or put it as an attachment, and I go back, it takes me back to some home menu. And I said, this is something with some update to Windows. I'm not sure what it was. I start using Chrome. It's still got the sticky folders.
Yeah. So that's why you should stick with Chrome.
I think people are starting to bail out from Firefox because of Chrome's, it seems like a better.
Let's ask.
You know,
but
Chrome,
this is the death of open source.
Our audience in the studio, we have about 20 people in the studio. Obviously, they're going to be the most sophisticated technology users out there, right?
Totally.
How many of you use Firefox as your main browser? I understand you have a mix as your main browser.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. How many of you use Internet Explorer as your main browser?
They would be thrown out of the studio, of course.
Ed, do you use Internet Explorer? You're a Windows
guy. I do.
Yeah,
of course
he does.
I do.
He's a Windows guy.
That's because Ed's sold out to Microsoft. He'll just do whatever they tell him.
How many of you use Chrome as your primary browser? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Mm. And our spooky producer Also, she uses Chrome. Do you use Chrome?
I use Chrome.
Chrome. And now you're starting to use Chrome, John, and I use Chrome.
The reason I'm reluctant to use Chrome is because I know Google is making book on everything I do. They save all the data. And then, as we will talk about after the break, with these stats, these content removal stats and all, the data request stats, these guys are gives you what the government comes knocking and says, hey, give us everything you got on this guy. Says, sure, boss,
John,
whatever you say.
Oh, well, we'll talk about that after the because we're going to get in a good fight.
Good.
But it's going to be okay.
But
we'll do that later.
For it.
Get the boxing gloves out.
Yes, I am.
Jolie O'Dell, John C. Dvorak.
Anti-privacy,
it's a new YouTube channel.
America.
World Wrestling.
You heard her.
Yeah,
that's
geek wrestling.
Like a cowboy.
That's going to be good. She's going to ride that bronc, and he's going to be broke.
I don't think that we disagree on the points.
Ed Bott just chagrined.
Maybe.
Saying, why am I here?
Ed.
Ed is wearing
his
Got Chile shirt, which means he's a big fan of Santiago. What does that mean? What is the reference?
It's I live in the state of New Mexico.
Oh,
it's the only state in the union that actually has an official state question.
Hmm. And what is that question?
Red or green?
Really?
And what's it refer to, that question?
Red chili or green chili? If you go into a restaurant and you order an enchilada
or a
tamale or something, they will say red or green. And you can say Christmas.
So what do you like?
Christmas is both.
Christmas is both. I generally prefer green chili, but it depends on the
dish.
I like green.
I do
too.
Interesting.
Yeah?
So,
it's like sweet tea or unsweet tea in the South.
Oof. Don't get me started.
Okay.
No, you don't drink sweet tea, do you?
No.
It's horrible.
No, it's not. It's an institution.
It is an institution.
Okay,
it's not that
but
bad.
I'm getting distracted from red versus green. Does it say that on the flag of the state of Albuquerque? By the way, thank you for Herman Cain. Not Herman Cain. Who's the other
Herman
guy?
Herman Cain, you just get to the commercial, will you?
Oh, we got to do the commercial. Wait a minute.
If you're going to do Gary religion, Johnson, we got to do
politics. Got to do the commercial. But no, I'm worried about New Mexico because I think most people think of Breaking Bad now when they think of New Mexico.
Crystal meth and immigrants. And
is it the crystal meth capital of the U.S.?
It's much harder to get crystal meth than they make it look.
Oh, good.
Honestly.
And he's been trying.
I thought Montana was like the meth state. That's their new slogan.
I think Idaho would be more likely.
Crystal or liquid? That's my state motto. By the way, it's not green. It's not to Herman Cain. It's what is it? Gary Johnson.
Gary Johnson's a great guy.
I have to say, he's got my vote.
He's not going to get anywhere to even be on the ballot.
But he's got my vote. You know why?
You might be the only one.
He circled me and mentioned me on Google Plus.
He did?
And he's had Google Plus Hangouts, which I think is a big thing.
So anybody who just...
Which means that all nine voters can get in one Hangout.
That's what we know about him.
Well, he looks like a nerd.
He's a nerd.
God bless him.
He's hip.
Okay.
Hit it.
Let's take a break and come back with more with our great panel, Jolie O'Dell. From VentureBeat, John C. Dvorak. He's just wandered off in the kitchen. And, of course, Ed Bott from New Mexico. But before we go any farther, let me tell you about GoToMyPC, the best remote access software ever from the folks at Citrix. GoToMyPC, access your Mac or your PC from anywhere, including your iPad. Including your iPad. That's a great way to do remote access. Instead of taking a laptop with you when you hit the road, just take your iPad. And you just log in your GoToMyPC account. You've got 128-bit SSL. That was scary. What the hell? What the hell was that?
Sorry.
I'm terrified. Who took over our... Jeez Louise. What'd you do with John? Go to mypc.com. I've lost my thread. Click the try it free button. Use the offer code TWIT, and you can try this free for 30 days. And it's free on the App Store. You don't have to pay a penny. No IT help required to set it up. You just click a link, and within minutes, probably seconds, you'll be all set up, and you're going, and you can leave the office and get some work done with GoToMyPC. It is great. The folks at Citrix are great. I know you're going to love it. But you don't have to take my word for it. I just think it's so, you know, just try it. GoToMyPC.com. Click the Try It Free button. The offer code is TWIT. So you went and you got some wine.
Chateau Greg Drebin.
Oh, I remember him. Can I This is a gold medal winner from Sonoma County's Harvest.
It's
kind of
sketchy because it's a 15.7 alcohol in a Cabernet. Come on. Ooh.
That's a little bold.
You got to put some water. You got to have one of those scotch things where you water it back.
Chateau Trabant from Sonoma. I think that they brought us a case of this. So please, have some and drink it in good health.
Why would they bring you a case?
Because we're in Sonoma County, and they like our, you know, the local people here. So, gosh, you started a conversation. Sure. We're going to get fisticuffs. So let's talk about it.
I didn't even get to stretch yet. Okay. Well, for at least a year and a half, couple years now, I've been following spy guides that companies basically give out. The guidelines for turning over user information to governments and police agencies, because at some point you realize that I would rather have the child molester arrested because of his email or his search traffic if that provides evidence against him. I want them to get the terrorists and the bad guys. And a lot of times, you know, they also get data for good guys. But
well, see, that's the issue is what you're saying.
But
in a nutshell is, if you don't do anything wrong, what do you have to worry about?
Which is a myth.
Yeah, I agree. It's
Well, yeah, it's total BS because, I mean, you're constantly under surveillance. Not to put on my tinfoil hat here, you're being filmed and monitored on audio and video every time you take public transportation. And you use these web services. Let's not forget that they're free. What do you really think you're getting into?
Well, and
here?
I might also, Facebook.
And Microsoft has a spy guide. Facebook
but
has
I
a spy
But I might also
guide.
Point out that you know who
Google
knows more about what you
guide.
Do online than any of the above is your internet service provider.
Oh, yeah, and they turn over data all the time. However, what I thought was very interesting about Google's transparency report. Well, first of all, they report
the
on
fact
it.
That they do it is
they
great.
Do it. And the second, they deny a butt ton of requests.
Right.
They denied
93% of the requests given by the U.S. government. They followed up on
by the U.S. government. Yeah, they did.
And there's
but
a
then
few
if you
that
look
they could because
like
they. I don't think they could do those other ones. They were
so,
like
yeah.
in.
This is fascinating.
But
so
in
Sri Lanka
and in Turkey, they followed up on 0% of them. In the U.S., some police agencies asked them to remove videos of police brutality, and Google pushed back and said no. So I'm saying
however,
they comply, but they push back sometimes.
That,
as well.
They do, and I respect that. They're touting this request for removing the YouTube was turned down.
Mm-hmm. You know.
They say the number of content removal requests increased by 70% in the last 6 months. The number of user data requests, that means information about a Google customer, increased 29%. But if you drill down on this U.S. requests, and I would recommend everybody do this with their own nation, you see all the different things that were requested that people take down, items requested to be removed, whether it's from court order, executive order, or a police order.
Well, I think we're missing the point here. It's not so much, you know, that it's good or bad that they do this at all. It's the fact that if you look at these numbers, it's the United States above all other countries by a factor of 10 that have requested that we spy on our own public. I mean, it's almost as though we're just – why don't we just admit that we're in a police state and get it over with? There's no other country that's listed on this entire list, and Google is a universal product – that even comes close to these numbers that we have here in the U.S. So it's being abused, and nobody seems to care about it. The public, notwithstanding, who does, well, that's kind of cool, you know, it's the way it goes, maybe get a pedophile off the street.
I think that is. It's unfortunate. That's the reaction is like, well, I'm not doing anything wrong, so I'm okay.
Right, which,
what
by the way,
what do we not know about the other countries that aren't making as many requests, though? What? How
they don't
are
need
they
to, maybe, huh?
People? How
this
are
is
they
the one I found interesting, John.
Well, Canada is not that much different than us, and they have almost zero requests.
Look at this one. This is the one I found interesting, John. Government criticism of a video on YouTube that was taken down at the request of somebody.
In the U.S.?
In the U.S.
Holy moly.
Last I checked, isn't government criticism protected?
There's this little saying we got it's a free country, you know?
Protected by the Constitution, but it doesn't mean that Google has to post it.
Kind of, I'm just surprised,
that's very strange.
Isn't that odd? They don't say what it was.
Criticism.
I'd love to. Yeah,
you suck, government.
Well, we gotta get rid of that.
What could it have been?
That would be bumped from the show.
Yes, I think. Well, let's watch and see if this video is taken off YouTube. Then we'll know it was us. And Herman.
It's just
Cain.
The left third of the screen that's going to be cut off.
There's going to be a black line here. Right? You'll be able to get to see the puppet, though.
The puppet will still be visible.
I do have to say, I shouldn't. It's not part of our. It's not in our portfolio. But what about this Herman Cain ad?
Which one?
Have you seen this ad? This is a very strange.
You're talking about the lip synced one?
No.
That's the one I think.
This
you
is the
be showing.
It's the smoking ad. Man. Let me see if I can find it here.
Is he?
Have you seen it?
I don't watch the.
Well, I didn't see it either. I only saw it because I was told about it. Let me see if I can find it here,
okay.
And I will play it. Well, it's actually I think it's
the Google topic to talk about Herman Cain. Do you hate Herman Cain? Is that what this is all about?
He's just not presidential.
I love Herman Cain. He may not be presidential, but he's really entertaining.
He's always entertaining.
Here's the ad.
Mark Locke here. Since January, I've had the privilege of being the chief of staff to Herman Cain and the chief operating officer of the Friends of Herman Cain. Tomorrow is one day closer to the White House. I really believe that Herman Cain will put United back in the United States of America. And if I didn't believe that, I wouldn't be here. We've run a campaign like nobody's ever seen. But then, America's never seen a candidate like Herman Cain. We need you to get involved, because together, we can do this. We can take this country back.
Now, who is the we? Smokers, apparently. This is the ad. He's smoking a cigarette. What the hell? And then Cain, wait a minute, look at this look that he gives you. Like, yeah, we're going to take it back for smokers.
My restaurants are now against smokers.
What the hell is that ad? It has nothing to do with anything.
This is performance art. This is not politics. It's performance
art.
It is.
I think the better ad is the one that the lip-synced one. You've seen it,
right? I haven't seen that one.
Oh, please. This is the best thing ever. This is is anybody
should
have
I pull
link
it up?
To that thing?
Should I pull it up? Herman Cain. Now, is it?
Herman Cain.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. The fake lip readers. What do they call that? This is a new meme on YouTube.
Oh no, I saw that meme.
Isn't that funny?
I saw the one with the Texan. That was pretty
Perry?
Funny. Yeah, him.
Bad lip reading.
Bad lip reading.
It was funnier when they did it with Bollywood videos, but this is pretty good.
It is pretty funny. Now the key on this is you have to read you can listen. I think, again, it speaks for itself. These are just clips from Herman Cain.
Before mighty Facebook, how would I have found Tom Hanks? Yes, I'm rolling in it. I can probably freak on you. It's just crazy. No, we ain't never have this. No rotten eagle's nest, nachos and hot wash. This is my juice.
It's so perfect.
Yeah, but the words are nonsense.
Okay. So if you're listening, you don't know what's going on. What's happening is they're taking real clips of Herman Cain, and I guess this bad lip reading people, they do this all the time.
Yeah,
and I guess it turns out there's a lot of ambiguity in your lips. I don't know how people do lip reading, because what they do is they watch it and then they misinterpret what he's saying, and they have some actor reading it, and it is perfect.
Yeah, it's well done. It's like looping.
Yes, like looping.
Yeah.
There's a Michelle Bachmann one, too. I don't want to, I mean, just to.
Just to balance it here.
Should we balance it?
Equal time.
No,
you know?
I don't want to do that.
That's enough of that.
So let's, I'm doing this because Google called
and
they asked me to distract
news.
People from the fact that they're giving all this information.
Let's get back to the news.
Let's get back to the news.
Okay. I'm supposed to
92
say that
content now. Removal requests, 757 items requested to be removed. And then, of course, Google bends over because 63% were fully or partially complied
with. Oh, is that bending over? That's more like leaning a little bit. Okay, the user data requests are the ones that really do, I think, speak more to the issue of privacy and surveillance.
They're asking for information about Google users.
But you are using it's not like a civil friggin' right. It is a service provided for free to you. And if you really, if you want to go all Stallman on it and just not use proprietary software, then you don't have to worry about
it. You don't have to log into a Google account.
They won't know.
Don't use Jumia. 5,950 requests in the U.S. You're right, John. Easily the most. The next largest number was from India. A mere 1,739 requests. Percentage
ours.
Of requests fully or partially comply within the U.S., 93%, by far the highest. 11,000 user accounts specified. Is this Patriot Act stuff?
Yeah. The good old Patriot Act.
That's not Patriot Act stuff. I mean, when you walk
it's
into
all
a convenience
Patriot Act
store,
stuff.
They have your picture on a surveillance camera. When you log into your Google account, they know your IP address. it's a company.
You know, and I have to say, as somebody who has had a subpoena filed on his behalf against Twitter to get information about a Twitter user, then went to the ISP and had another subpoena filed to find out more about that
person. Yeah, this guy you were tracking down like
a
dog.
We got him like a dog.
Yeah.
No, we didn't. It was, you know, a kid had made a death threat to one of my family members. And when we found, I was worried that it was real, it could be local. When we found him, he was this kid in the suburbs of Chicago. And when the police came to his store, scared the hell out of him. And that was that. In fact, his dad was madder than anybody else. However,
I bet.
I've gone through that process, and I think it's an important and valuable process. If somebody's doing something that's genuinely evil.
Well, I mean, there need to be checks and balances, just like with everything else.
And it takes a court order. It takes a subpoena. It's not automatic. I'm a little more worried about these pen register, you know, warrantless requests for location, thing like that.
Well, you know, without knowing the details, though, I don't see how you can decide that 93% is bad.
Right.
But if they had only complied with 37% of them, then that would be good.
No, you're the voice of reason again, once again, Ed Bott. Actually, in a way, 93% is good because it means that all of those requests were deemed legit. They
went through some kind of process. I also think that I'm surprised, actually, the numbers are so low.
Right.
And worldwide, I think it says something about the United States that we have more processes here where people can file requests like this. And there is a process for it. I suspect it's much more difficult in Turkey or Hungary.
Oh, you mean where they protect the privacy of the citizens a little better in places like Turkey? Okay.
No, that it might be more difficult for someone to even get a complaint through a governmental agency on to Google.
Yeah.
Right?
Whatever.
Yeah. See, Ed's the voice of reason, which takes all the fun out of this.
It's just kind of a milquetoast response to a situation that's dreadful.
You don't have enough data. You don't have enough data to say that. You may believe it, and you may be right. And you may be right in believing
it. But you couldn't know.
But based on the data that you have here.
No, that's true. I'm just shooting off my mouth because I feel that this, based on the things that have been happening, I think I'm probably right.
Well, what would your alternative be then? What's the ideal way to handle if somebody makes a death threat?
I think Leo did the right thing for the death threat.
Well, yeah, but he had to go.
And we went through the police. The police went through
the police, and the police had to go to
the internet.
You
have to go through due process.
Due process.
That's what this is.
I'm not saying this is due process. I'm seeing them calling up Google and saying, look, this is the attorney.
They have to have warrants for all that stuff.
No, not with the Patriot Act anymore. There's warrants or forget it. We don't need warrants for any of this stuff. There's no warrants involved in any of this. I can assure you.
I know that's not true.
Okay, well what do we know?
You know, we have to call Google and then listen to their spin doctors and filter that through our
I'd love to
sense.
Know. Would you get to work?
I can make a call on that.
By the way, how do you like working for Lance Ulanoff over there?
She doesn't work at Mashable anymore. She left.
Zipping it, locking it, putting it in my pocket.
I don't, and she quit?
You left.
Yes, I did. I work now for Matt Marshall, and he is a gentleman and a journalist, and I love it.
Where's this?
VentureBeat.
Oh.
Woohoo.
You left before Lance joined Mashable.
Oh, you left before Lance showed up.
I did.
Long enough before that you can't impute that it was Lance.
Yeah, because he has Lance on the show all the time. He likes Lance. Mashable, we all like Lance.
Mashable and Lance, I don't know anything about that relationship. Yeah, but
Mashable, there's other stuff, which we'll talk about, you and I, later.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Jolie is full of secrets.
Yeah, she's a secretive woman.
She's full of secrets.
I got all the dirt on everybody. I know where the box is.
Who's worse, Vince or Lance?
Vince? Well, I don't know Lance, remember.
See, there you go.
So, Vince.
So, great article. Ed Bott wrote a great article. Actually, I love Ed, by the way.
We all love Ed.
Wrote a great article. And I understand, Ed, you're saying this was one of the most read articles on ZDNet in 5 years. This is the number one article on ZDNet. Is that right?
That I've written.
That you've written.
Yeah, I don't know about others, but it's... Yeah, as far as I know, it's been the single most read article that I've done in 5 years.
And I think it's this picture.
tablet PC is super cool.
I looked at that.
You know, Microsoft tried to get me fired from PC Magazine because of this piece of crap that they were trying to sell. So we were at a award ceremony, and I was giving them nothing but grief because I've made allusions to the fact this was in like 99. I said, this is, you know, that you were predicting it's going to do this and that, and this is not going to sell any.
Bill Gates wanted tablets to be successful for 10 years. He put his heart and soul into selling tablets, and he could not make it work. And it must have galled him endlessly that Apple
like
comes along with the iPad.
Falling off a log.
Boom.
Yeah.
But, you know, and the article is called A Decade's Worth of Windows Mistakes That Changed Microsoft for Better and Worse. Was a tablet PC better or worse?
it was worse for a long time, but it has changed them for the better. I think they finally
Windows
woke
8.
Up. They finally woke up and realized that that the tablet functionality is not a feature that you put into a laptop.
Right.
It's an experience right. that you integrate into a unified hardware-software package.
Have they learned that lesson? Will they know better with Windows 8 on a tablet?
Ask me again in February.
Yeah, I guess we'll know.
That'll be interesting. By the way, I want to mention something to the chat room who said I was bullshitting them when it came to this. They tried to get me fired.
Oh, no,
this
I'm
has
sure
happened
they did.
Numerous times. Microsoft was the worst for this. Nobody did anything, of course.
They call your bosses at ZDNet or whoever.
It was at Ziff.
Ziff.
And they say, hey, you know, we didn't appreciate what Dvorak did at
and
that
presentation.
And
by the way, we spend how many millions of dollars
that's
a year
the thing,
on
that's
display
the thing
ads?
That was the irony of Microsoft. They were so cheap. That they didn't spend enough money to get me fired. It was great.
If they had bought more ads, they might have had a shot at it.
Let me tell you how cheap they were. This is a good little story. So I'm in Brazil and going down there because I'm writing for a magazine down there. And I went, and I was also licensed to PC Magazine Brazil for a while. So I was hanging out with the publisher. And he tells me that Microsoft, as soon as he starts the magazine, they come in and they say, here's what we want. We want this page. We want the inside front cover page. And we want two ads inside. And he says, okay. And he says, this will cost you this much. He says, oh, no. We're not going to pay for these ads.
What?
And the guy, and apparently this is standard procedure with these guys. He says, what do you mean you're not going to pay for these ads? I'm not going to give you these ads. He says, oh, no one is going to take your magazine seriously if
unless
we're not
Microsoft
advertising
ads.
It.
Hey, they, you know what? They have a little bit of a point. Or not anymore, but they in those days they had a point.
Yeah, and he said no.
Huh. And did anybody take the magazine seriously?
No, it folded. No, I mean, this state had been in business for 2 or 3 years, but it was. It
I think
wasn't
that's
because
a good
of Microsoft.
I think
one
that's
way
a good
other.
Point.
But Microsoft, that's the kind of thing they do.
Who did that though? Was it? Is it like Wagner Edstrom? Is
no,
it actually
no, no,
Microsoft?
No, it's their sales guys.
Oh yeah,
the people in the field.
The people who buy the ads.
Okay, this was 1998 or 99, right?
In that era, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You know, so that was pre antitrust.
Right. They were still cocky.
This was. Cowboy Microsoft
right.
at its very, very worst. They were still doing the per-processor licensing for MS-DOS. They were still doing the restrictive clauses on things that you could add on the desktop. I mean, they were at their monopolistic best.
They were very arrogant at that time.
And Google has been studying the playbook from the 1990s and is replicating every single one of those things today. I mean, it's just staggering to watch it today. You're just sitting there going, they're doing this, and this was 1997 Microsoft. They're doing this. This was 1998 Microsoft.
They're getting the attention. Give me one example, though.
Of something
of
that
Google. Google's doing that's like the arrogant Microsoft of the end of the 90s.
They just changed the APIs for Google Maps.
Oh yeah, there's a very good example.
After wiping out the competition, basically owning the marketplace in this and getting small application developers, newspapers especially, to build these things that are getting page views based on Google Maps API calls. Now. They start saying, okay, you get more than 25,000 page views a year, boom, you got to pay for it. That's classic Microsoft. That's what monopolies do.
Yeah,
drive out the competition and then start charging for it.
But they are, you know, they're getting the same kind of scrutiny that Microsoft got from the DOJ.
Right.
I mean, this could very well end the same way.
There's I've read, you know, through the years. A couple years ago, they were literally days away from having an antitrust action filed against Google, and the Department of Justice and Google worked something out at the last minute. But
they,
you know,
do
we'll
have.
See. I mean, and the whole Motorola thing,
buying Motorola,
you know, buying Motorola. And I know that Andy Rubin says, no, we're going to run Motorola as a hands-off business at arm's length. But if I were HTC and Samsung and the other Android makers, I would have my lawyers on the phone with the DOJ every single day asking them what they're going to do about this.
They did flip-flop because originally they said, no, we're not going to make handsets. And then they said, oh, well, of course we're going to make handsets.
Well, and back in some discovery for the Oracle patent trials, they found that Microsoft, Google had been giving, you know, extra lead time and special consideration to Motorola and Verizon.
All along.
So nothing's really changing, but now it's a much more obvious relationship.
It has been asserted that there are hidden APIs in Android that people who are like Motorola now, I guess, get access to.
Hidden APIs.
We've heard that before. Have you heard that phrase before? When did we last hear hidden APIs?
I think it was about 1995.
1990, yeah, exactly. Okay, so number one tablet. Let's scroll through some of these horrendous mistakes that Microsoft made. XP adds a firewall. Good firewall. But in the original edition?
They had a very good firewall, and then they didn't turn it on.
It wasn't turned on by default.
So, and as a result, Blaster Worm and Code Red and Sasser all just, there was one week in August of 2003 when I think I made 10 house calls to fix this thing on people's PCs.
But they learned because Service Pack 2 turned it on.
Turned on the firewall.
Yeah. And that, by the way, is probably the single most important security move ever made by any company in the history of computing.
So why did you move to New Mexico?
Have you ever been here, John?
Yeah, I've been to it.
It's the land
of
enchantment.
It's got the best lightning storms in the world.
I find that enchanting, and I've got my New Mexico hat on to prove it.
But why did you move there? It's not like a tech center.
Yeah, why did you move there? Is his wife? His wife?
Because
No.
Yeah, we can live anywhere we want, and we lived in Silicon Valley first, and then we lived in Redmond, and we got tired of being surrounded by people living in a bubble.
Yeah.
Who could only talk about themselves, and so I'm out here. I cover products for people who actually use them, and it's actually it's very interesting to watch it from 700 miles or 1,000 or 2,000 miles away. You get a much clearer perspective on it.
That's exactly why TWIT is not in San Francisco. We thought about it. It'd be easier to do this in San Francisco.
You're close enough.
No, I don't think there's that bubble here. I don't think there's that sense. You meet people here, they're not talking about Twitter. Oh, yeah, Ev was in the cafe. It's a very different place. This is not a company town.
But you can still drive down to the valley.
Well, that's why it's kind of perfect, because it's close enough that I can get you and Jolie to come here. We can drive down there. But I don't, by the way. I don't do vendor meetings. I don't do any of that stuff. I want to keep it arm's length. I'm with it on that one.
No vendors ever come to the Twit Studios?
No, we don't do it, ever. They try.
We were in Healdsburg last week.
Isn't it great?
It's a wonderful little town, visiting some old friends, and there was not a... We didn't talk much about tech,
right.
And when we went out to dinner, we didn't hear people around us talking about, you know, the latest deal or what their latest pivot is or whether they're getting a Series B round.
Right.
There was none of that going on. People were talking about
I find it enjoyable.
Yeah.
What?
That people are talking about all the stuff around you everywhere you go, and you can spy on them and listen
I find
in.
It's so annoying.
And, well, yeah, you would.
I can see, though, for you, it's great because you might get some tidbits.
I get lots of tidbits.
But I think that it poisons the well if you're a journalist covering this stuff. You really do have to keep your it's hard to keep your feet on the ground.
Not if you try to be.
You don't have the problem because you hate everybody.
I do.
So that doesn't,
way to be.
That doesn't, you don't care, you don't mind.
I don't care. I'm cynical. I think everything's bull
crap.
But
me, I have that problem because I want people to like me.
Yes, you do. You're the
I do.
As a likable journalist, you have to accept the fact that everybody hates you no matter what you do or say. So you just kind of get used to it and do your own thing.
Jolie? I mean, look, there's a little kitty cat. That's something else you don't get in San Francisco.
There's cats all over the city.
So, they're only on YouTube in the Silicon Valley.
So,
here
but
we
Jolie,
have them in real life.
You probably go to all the events, the parties.
No,
that you
not
don't.
Anymore.
You don't.
Heck no.
I think that's a real problem when a journalist does that, because they start to get sucked in.
Well, you make friends with people. You can't afford to be friends with
them. I don't
want to
be friends with them.
Because once in a decade, you're going to really have to screw them over.
Exactly.
You're going to have to tell objective stories about their lives and personalities, and you cannot be emotionally involved.
Right on, Joey O'Dell. You're just as grumpy as John is.
We're journalists.
You both hate people.
No, actually, that's not true, and she's being disingenuous. She doesn't hate people at all.
I don't.
She just likes the idea of the objectivity of.
She's right. That's her job.
And she's a writer. She's an introverted writer.
She's good. She's good.
I am an introvert, and I don't like being around people. And when I'm around people, I don't like to talk about work, which means I don't have a cell phone. I don't get online when I'm not at work. And I don't.
You're on the cell phone.
You don't have a cell phone?
No. Remember the old days, like 10 years ago?
No.
She uses a landline, ladies and gentlemen.
5 years ago.
Wow.
5 years ago.
No, I have to have a cell phone.
I try to keep my personal life and my work.
I don't
separate.
Keep the technology at arm's length because I need to. So, but that's where we're different because I review cell phones, so obviously I have to use cell phones.
No, it's because you're a gadget junkie.
I am.
Because he can review cell phones without having one.
No, you can't.
He has all of them.
You cannot review a cell phone unless you use it for months and get a sense of it.
You are a gadget junkie.
At least 2 weeks.
Listen to me. I know this man. He's a gadget junkie, and he uses this as an excuse to buy all this stuff so he can take a tax write-off.
I don't deny that.
And all this crap.
I don't deny that.
Yeah, okay.
Get him.
But what I don't want to do is make friends. I'm with you. I don't want to make friends with these people.
Oh, you're the friendliest guy in town.
That's why I stay away from him, because I would make friends with them.
Yeah, you would.
But here, drag this back to the topic at hand.
No.
If you want honest political coverage, do not ask a reporter in Washington, D.C.
It's inside the beltway.
I agree with that.
They are all being invited to all the parties. And in fact, being invited to those parties is how they curry favor with their sources. And so they have to be careful about what they say, and they have to go to all the right parties and talk to all the right people. If you live in Silicon Valley, or you live in Seattle, or you live on Route 128, or in any one of those places, you are going to be sucked into that culture, and you're going to make friends with these people. And every time you write a story, you're going to be going, oh, maybe I should tone this quote down. Right. Because maybe this guy won't take my call the next time I call him up, or he'll snub me at the next party that I go to. And it's really refreshing not to be in a culture.
Well, I'll tell you what the problem with that theory is, and I appreciate that you're in New Mexico. I would live in Paris if I had the chance. Mm-hmm. But I feel that when you're in the milieu, I think it's critically important because you get a second sense, kind of a deeper sense and understanding of things because you're in the milieu. Whether you go to the parties
true
or not.
Too.
You can be in it and not of it.
In and not of it. That's good.
You can be an observer. But it is possible.
But to be in it makes a huge difference. You have a...
Well, that's why I live in Petaluma. I'm close
enough.
Kind of
credit. Well, you get these other people like us coming in to keep you kind of
you
hooked
are
to the milieu.
You hook me into the milieu.
Okay.
I just
wait
sit here in my bow tie and cowboy hat and go...
Milieu is French for bubble, right?
I think so.
Okay. Best line you've done in your life. Good for you, Ed. Congratulations. Finally. I've been waiting.
Okay. A decade worth of Windows mistakes that changed Microsoft. Here's one. The stupid search dog.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
The only good thing about the search dog is when you said, turn the search dog off, it would put its tail, literally, put its tail between its legs and wander off into the distance like you'd hurt its freaking feelings.
Pitiful.
That is just not good.
Well, there was a whole time when Microsoft's interface designers were wedded to the notion that people were afraid of technology.
It's patronizing.
Well, wasn't this a clippy era?
And it was completely patronizing. And somebody on Twitter this week said, well, how is this different from Siri? And I just went, let me count 1,000 different ways. The whole thing with Rover the dog, the search dog, is it was an unnecessary distraction. It was adding steps to a process that you should be simplifying.
Yes.
Siri is a way it may go overboard slightly, but it is a way for you to construct a query in a way that's familiar to you, and to get an answer back in a way that's familiar to you. And I don't think that they've imbued the thing with too much personality. I think Apple's done that much.
I'm surprised myself because I thought Siri would be a gimmick. I wouldn't use it. I use it all the time. I really love
Does
it.
Does it really work, though? I mean, we've had people in our office try to use it, and
it works great.
Been pathetic.
Unless the network's down.
I want to say just a little off topic here. Ed is sounding what?
Like this is such an on-topic show. Please.
Ed is sounding enough like John Doerr that I believe that we can use him for some practical jokes that would be just fantastic.
Not only off-topic, but totally obscure. That's good. You're going for the trifecta here.
I think
here.
We could work just a little of the pacing, and we got it.
John Doerr.
My wife once worked for John Doerr, so
she probably knows what his case
is. He's a venture capitalist.
Yes, a very famous venture capitalist in Silicon Valley and a lot of boards. We could have him call people up and fire him.
And what is it about it that he likes, that he sounds like him? Is it that he likes Siri?
No, it's the voice. His voice. His actual vocalization is very much like John Doerr's. There's a little, maybe a pacing thing here or there, but generally speaking, he sounds like him.
This is
were you raised, Ed?
I was raised in Central California, over the Altamont Pass.
Because John Doerr is actually from St. Louis. Hmm. I wonder if there's any. Probably not.
I could go on because
you should skip to probably numbers 8 and 9 are the worst offenders.
Yeah.
There.
Well, number 8, of course, is user account control going overboard.
Oh yeah.
Which it absolutely it did. It annoyed people. And in fact, it had the negative impact because people got to the point where you just say, cancel, whatever, or okay.
Right.
They stopped paying attention to it. I think it was a good idea. It was a good security model. But the problem is you bug people, they're going to just say okay and keep going. And then, of course, I agree with you on this. The product copy protection in Windows, it wasn't enough just to have serial number protection. Then they had to have genuine user. What is it called? Windows Genuine Advantage. Like that's an advantage.
They've gone through several different names for it. The problem with WGA, Windows Genuine Advantage, when it was introduced in 2006 and 2007, was that it didn't work. Right. And it caught in one study.
Microsoft admitted 5% false positives.
They admitted 5%, but I did my own independent study. It was probably where I made my bones at ZDNet. 42% of the complaints that they were getting in the first year for Windows Genuine Advantage were people who were being unfairly tagged as pirates, and it just wasn't right. And I think over the course of 3 years, this is one of those cases where Microsoft changed for the better as a result of getting criticism. Even when I was pounding them every week on this for months, maybe a full year, I was going up to Redmond and having these incredibly tense meetings with people, and I would say, you need to do this, and they would say, we're doing that, and I would say, that's not enough. And they made some very serious changes to what they had done, and today you have not heard users complaining about activation being a problem in the last 2 years. None.
No.
It's a non-issue because they finally figured out that the tie goes to the runner.
Yes.
If there's any kind of a doubt.
Yes.
And in fact, their original thing was a kill switch that they had for Windows that would turn your screen black and after 3 days make Windows stop working. Eventually, they came up with a switch that they have in their offices in Redmond that if they detect that the activation servers are doing anything out of the ordinary, they flip that switch and
everything's okay.
Every conflict is resolved in favor of the customer until they figure out what the issue is. And that's what they should have done all along. They finally figured that out. But it was a couple years of nightmares. And every single one of those people who were impacted by that, they say one bad recommendation wipes out 10 good ones.
Right.
And this is an example of where that was completely true.
Ed Bott is here from ZDNet, and really one of the best reporters on the scene there is, perhaps because he lives outside the bubble in New Mexico.
In the milieu.
He's outside the milieu. Inside the milieu, John C. Dvorak, who is also, he just shows there's many ways to do it. One of the best tech reporters in the world. ChannelDvorak.com. He does so many shows. You do the
That No Agenda Show.
NoAgendaShow.com.
NoAgendaShow.com. You can run into that occasionally.
You great show.
Great stuff. Some
You're doing this
stuff
new,
that you
this
would
new
hate.
X. What is it? X Marks the Spot?
X Marks the Spot. That's the show. No, X3.
What is that about?
Show.mevio.com.
What is that about?
I got two guys and just the three of us. You know what I did? I kept bringing these little panel shows down to the point where I don't want to book anybody.
Right.
I don't want rotating guests.
Right.
You got to – they don't show up. Or they bitch
That's
about
right.
the time
just
you
the
do
same
it.
Three guys
it's
over
just a bunch of complaints.
And over and
the
over.
The same three
just
guys.
Just the same three guys.
Exactly.
Constantly.
That's right.
Over
you got
and
it.
Over.
You
and
got
over.
It.
And what are these same –
it's like the same three guys on a sitcom. It's not like you're complaining about
same
that, are you?
Three, no, it's like Larry, Moe, and Curly. It's like Manny, Moe, and
Biff. What they
Biff.
Call
it's,
us.
Yes.
Larry, Moe, and Curly.
And what do you talk about?
Movies.
Yes.
No, we talk about tech news.
Tech
the same,
news.
The same.
What's inside the milieu.
We have different a different model for the way it's done. We have a super, really a geeky guy that's like a real.
You have prototype archetypes.
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 Yes, exactly.
The crank, the geek, the stoner.
Perfect. The crank, the geek, and the stoner.
Wait, which one are you?
If that's not like a model for success,
archetypes.
I have no idea. Yeah.
But no, so you've reinvented the panel show.
Yes, I've gone over and over all these models. I've done
Brilliant.
Different things.
And how's that show doing? Good?
It's killing.
It's killing. It's hot. It's number one.
Well, I don't know about that.
X3.mevio.com.
And then we have another one called Generation X3.
No.
Yeah, and I got three millennials and me. And I grill them about social.
What
stuff.
Is with your kids? What's wrong with your kids? Why
it.
Don't you pay yeah. for music?
If they don't cry, it's not a good show.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
he
makes them cry.
I haven't gotten to that yet.
Work on it.
I believe.
Jolie O'Dell is a Venture Beat. What is your title? Writer? Chief writer? Story?
Just writer.
Architect?
We don't put too much into
nah,
that.
Nah, it's just titles.
Just, I write stuff.
I'm Chief Twit, you know. Yeah.
Good on you.
Just thought I'd just pass that along. This show brought to you by the folks at Audible, audible.com. Folks, if you are not yet an Audible member, ooh, you're missing out. Some great stuff on Audible. Of course, we were talking earlier. I do listen to the Audible books. I feel it's just like reading. And their book, the Steve Jobs book, is very nicely done. And now, this is a long book. And, you know, the best way to, by the way, I'm not going to say anything, but you can get it on iTunes for like $30 or $19.59 on Audible. They have the best price on this book. Really nicely done. Same exact book. It's you know, it's a Simon & Schuster production. And it is a long book, so this is the way I would listen, 25 hours. But now that sounds like a lot. And if you're reading it and you go fall asleep every three pages, it's going to take you a year to read it. But I've read it an entire week because I spend time in cars, you know. So when you drive to work, that's a couple hours a day. You pick up the kids at school. You go to soccer practice. You don't have to watch the game. You can read a book.
You drive 5 minutes to this job.
You know, sometimes I drive around and around and around because I'm so excited by the book.
Just saying.
I do it while I'm in the gym. Actually, you know where mostly I get my time in the gym is because that's an hour a day and I listen in the gym. It's good. Anyway, this is a fantastic book, highly recommended. But there's so much more on Audible. You like Neil Gaiman? I'm a huge Neil Gaiman fan. And they have done something new here. Let me see if I can find the link on this. It's a Neil Gaiman collection. Introducing Neil Gaiman Presents... So I'm reading American Gods, which is one of his great novels of all time. But what he's done is he has selected books from Audible. So if you like his style, you want to check this out. This is from the Audiobook Creation Exchange. Not Neil Gaiman books, but books that Neil loves and recommends. See, that's great. One of the things that's fun about Audible, it's a bookstore, 75,000 audio books and shows and speeches and stuff. But the fun thing is it's like browsing a bookstore. I just downloaded this. It's supposed to be good. Haruki Murakami's 1Q84. It's 1984. The city is Tokyo. It's a dystopian Tokyo. It's supposed to be fantastic. So that's 46 hours. I wouldn't tackle a book like that if I didn't have Audible. That's the beauty of it. Audible.com. Here's the deal. You get two books. Two books. All you have to do is go to audible.com/twit2. That's the platinum account you'll be signing up for. That's a subscription, two books a month. That's exactly, in my opinion, the right amount. Because that's about what I go through, two books a month. But your first month's free. Your first two books are free. You can cancel at any time, so you never have to pay a penny, and the books are yours to keep forever and ever and ever. They work on the iPod, all the iDevices, but also the Zune, the Kindle, many GPS devices, of course, your PC and Mac. I just love it. Audible.com. And by the way, check out the Audible app on Android and on iPhone. It's really a great app. Audible.com/twit2. Two books, yours forever. And there's a few that you might want to choose. Just some really good stuff out there. All right.
I'd get that Steve Jobs book right away.
It's worth reading. You know, I was surprised because I thought it's authorized. It might be kind of a hagiography. But anyways, I like to use big words with John because he just makes
Where's
him laugh.
My pen?
That's
the word of the day. That's the word of the day.
I hagiography. I found it actually anodyne. It was refreshing.
Hmm. It's the day.
It was like a styptic pencil in the eye. Uh-huh. It really, there's some very, you know, in fact, after reading, listening, I'm sorry, I know you don't like me to say reading, even though I am. After listening to the book, I found myself a little saddened.
Oh.
I felt like this was an unhappy man.
Who?
Mr. Jobs.
Oh, yeah, probably.
Yeah, miserable. He said, he seemed miserable.
Yeah. Well, aren't we all?
Yeah, aren't we all? It's true. I'm unhappy.
So,
are you unhappy, Jolie?
I do my best.
I'm miserable. We're all miserable. Are you miserable, Ed Bott?
Doing this show, he should be by now.
All right, I'm going to cheer it up.
So, have you tried this?
You know, you'd fit right in here in New Mexico with that hat.
I know. You know why I bought that hat? I bought that hat because I was going to meet Charlie Daniels. He's famous for his giant cowboy hats. Mm-hmm. So I bought the biggest hat I could find, and I met Charlie Daniels, and it was dwarfed by the hat he was wearing.
No.
Yes.
You were dwarfed by Charlie Daniels,
he's
too.
A big man.
That could be it.
A big man. So let's talk about Hewlett-Packard. Oh, man. Oh, man. Meg Whitmore moves in. Meg Whitman moves in.
You can do it.
I'm thinking about Sam Whitmore. Remember
him? Yeah,
you were.
Yeah. Well, he should be the CEO.
He should be. He'd do better than anybody. Meg Whitman moves in, and she says, you know, that Leo Apotheker really was a clown.
Good for her.
Everything he did, we're going to undo, and we're going to start with bringing back the PC division.
I wrote a column in MarketWatch saying that this is going to be a disaster, and I've taken it back. I think that she's on the right track. She's doing the right thing. She's recognized. I don't see that she has the skill set, but now that she's there, I've got no complaints yet.
You know what? She's got balls. Well, she doesn't actually literally have balls. That would be a miracle. But she has guts. She does have guts. It takes a lot of nerve to come in to take over as a CEO and immediately say,
trash the old guy?
Throw it. Yes. I guess not. Actually,
no, that's not
exactly
that
what you do. You get three envelopes. So she blamed the old guy and started.
Well, she did a couple of the right things. One, I talked to people about this, and it's like when you're in the business of selling servers and you're trying to get a huge corporate account,
you can't. You got to have hardware.
You have to. Well, they can have the servers. They were going to just sell servers, but not the PCs. But these companies want a complete package.
Yes,
they want you coming in with the services and the servers and the PCs. They don't want you to go, oh, and by the way, you can get some PCs from Lenovo.
But I got to say, HP consumer PCs are not so hot. They got to fix that up. Is that what you're using, Jolie O'Dell?
Yeah.
You're using an HP.
I'm using an HP, and I'm very happy with it.
ProBook.
ProBook.
Oh,
come on.
ProBook. I missed the
Pro.
It's a ProBook.
It's not a ProBook. Dang.
Whatever happened to Poe Bronson anyway?
Him with that belt buckle.
Yeah, ProBook. It's time.
That's just the worst.
You wrote a good article, and I'm actually very excited about these ultralight.
Oh, yeah, those. Yeah, the MacBook Air competitors.
Yeah, they're basically. I mean, I'm using an Air. I like the Air. HP's got one. Asus has a new one. The Zen that people are raving. Dell's got one. They're all pretty much the same. Intel's been the one that's
they're just
been
little bitty,
this.
Tiny, itty bitty baby computers.
Have you played with any of these?
I need a grown up machine, sir.
You do have a grown up machine.
And I don't mean look at
that's a mighty big
websites.
Machine for a little girl like you.
Pardon me, I was trying so hard.
You did great right up to that point. You were doing great.
1 hour, 19 minutes. And that's as far as I can go.
Oh, that was very nice. We'll bleep it out. It's okay,
thank you. No, but seriously, I mean, I do a lot of video editing for VentureBeat.
Oh, you do?
Some of it, I do.
Well,
I'm
you need
to
that.
Get away from
then
it
you do need a heavy-duty machine.
I need a... Well, I would feel... Not to denigrate what you do, sir, but I would feel a little bit silly running around with a...
See, that's what you could have said.
I'm so used to, like,
you said, wow, that's a mighty small computer for a big boy like you. Because it is. It's lightweight. It's
itty-bitty.
As the show goes down the toilet.
Jolie, what's the resolution on that screen?
I haven't the faintest.
It's 13-inch screen.
She doesn't care.
Let me see if I can find it.
This is smaller than my last one.
Oh, the screen that you have.
Or the screen that you have.
Look it up.
Well... This one that you have is probably 1366 by 768, Leo.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure.
Oh, there
something
you have
like
it.
That, yeah.
But that one, I mean, see, I think you've got.
Yes, you're for it. He nailed it.
You've got enough.
Nailed it.
It's almost like I've been doing this for a few years.
Nailed it. But I believe that the Ultra books are going to be higher resolution, aren't they?
Well, in order to do things like video editing, any kind of productivity work, 1366 by 768 is. It's not enough.
Do you need 1080?
Yeah. Well, or
you need a desktop machine with three screens is what you need. Get off these little things.
But if you're traveling, you don't have that luxury.
Right.
But 1600 by 900, my opinion, is the minimum that you need to be.
Because it's 16:9 ratio, right? I mean, mainly because of the screen ratio.
Right.
Although,
right.
Wait a minute, 1366 by 768 is 16:9. It's just smaller, right. 16:9.
It is.
So the Asus 11-inch is the same as this. These are both roughly 11-inch screens. The 13 is, as you say, 1600 by 900.
That's where you get to have two things side by side, and you can actually still get stuff done, because that's what, you know, if I'm covering a show or something and I'm either in the press room or in my hotel room, I need to have, you know, my notes and a web browser and stuff on one side and whatever I'm editing in on the other side. I can't be flipping back and forth or I won't get any work done.
That makes sense. There's only a couple of things people care about. One is that. I mean, they don't care about CPU so much or RAM so much.
They should.
Well, I mean, the raw speed. I think battery life is probably the biggest concern.
I think CPU speed and memory is more important. Yeah, well, if you use Photoshop a lot or you do a lot of these things where you actually need a little power.
Are we
talking about what consumers, like people who
normal got, people.
Normal folk.
Not in the milieu.
Who is going to buy these and why are they going to buy them, the tiny little computers?
Because they're pretty.
Well,
because it does everything they want without tying them down, without having
a desktop replacements.
Ugh, please.
No, not the Airs, I mean, not the ultralights.
The Air is not. That's my point.
I don't want a desktop replacement.
Something with a 1600 by 900 screen is a desktop replacement. Something with a 1366 by 768 screen is a companion machine. It's the thing that you take. That you want to.
Are normal people going to have any use for a companion machine?
Right.
Do they
only a true geek would have both a desktop and a laptop?
Yeah. No, that's not true.
Right.
I don't know that people care.
No, bull crap.
I just don't think people want to be.
So is the Ultrabook, what the Ultrabook is aimed at, Ed? Is that aimed at the second computer, or is this Intel's desire to create let's be honest. It's air jealousy.
Well, it's air jealousy, but you can also say that in many of these cases where company A accuses company B of copying them, what they're really doing is responding to the same
market forces.
Market demand. Yeah, yeah. Market
force. Who made the netbook first, and isn't the Air just a...
Asus made the first netbook.
And they had those crappy Atom processors in them, but the market force that they were responding to was people wanted to have one computer that did a simple suite of tasks for them that they could take, you know, to a coffee shop, or they could take to their friend's house or their relative's house, and then they could sit at home and do these things. And they're not very demanding in terms of the tasks that they do, but they wanted to be able to pick this thing up and move it around.
But most people don't do demanding tasks. They surf and they do email, right? Or maybe they'll watch video. Do people really need... I mean, how many people do Photoshop or video editing? I mean, that's an unusual...
Yeah, I think the more people... I don't know about that. I think more people are using photo editing software, not necessarily Photoshop, than ever before, because everyone's got these damn cameras.
Oh, but that's just pushing a button on your smartphone. I agree, like filtering and making your photos look all retro.
Yeah, but that's what's so cool about this is
that's what Instagram
built. Yeah, that's what's all built in.
Dumber than a sack of hammers in a complete.
You don't even have one
anymore.
It is, but you know what? Well, so maybe 70% of the market is dumber than a box of hammers.
They're selling okay.
No, yeah, I mean, people love that kind of stuff. So,
well, duh.
But I'm wondering, you know, are people interested in doing desktop photo editing, or is it all living here?
What is this thing?
What? That's a battery, because the battery life on that thing is terrible.
So you've got a big battery wrapped around this thing. So well, you now weighs, hold on a second.
Yeah, it weighs a lot more. But I got to
tell you. Holy crap, this thing weighs like a pound.
I know, because I have to, because I can't take the battery out.
You poor, sad, gadget-addicted man.
Actually, you know, the real problem is I think the iPhone is too small, slippery, and breakable. And so
it's very breakable.
It's very breakable. I put it in a big case.
That's
partly,
a feature. You know, this thing is made out of some industrial-grade, weird military material. It never gets scratched.
You know, the new one, the Nexus, what is it? The Nexus Galaxy Nexus?
Galaxy Nexus.
Made, it has Kevlar. It's the back of it. You could shoot somebody.
Yeah, that's the
you
droid
can use
razor.
It to block a bullet.
Is that the Razor? The razor. Oh, I'm sorry. That's the Razor. No. Kevlar.
Oh, well.
Ridiculous.
Space age is silly.
Well, do you think people are going to be using those or using those more? I mean, that is smartphones or
smartphones or ultrabooks.
I mean,
I don't think that's the same category.
Are you sure?
Everybody has to have a phone except Jolie O'Dell.
And if I'll tell you, people who are like Mac users, they have all these things. They'll have a desktop. Mm-hmm. They'll have a Mac Air and a MacBook and an iPhone and an iPad
well,
and
when
another
I say
iPhone.
People, I mean, capital P people, people outside the milieu, as we keep bringing it up.
Well, somebody's buying all this crap.
I think Apple users are. Many of them are outside the milieu. They're in the, all over the country, and they're in the same way in Chicago. They have a MacBook, and they got an iPhone, and they got an iPad.
Because it all
got,
works great together. It has this, and I'm not an
what
Apple apologist.
Need all this crap?
But it's seamless integration.
Insensitive.
Seamless they're price insensitive.
It's matchy matchy, and that's just so tacky.
We look at people spend money on cars. They spend money on clothes. I mean, I don't think that.
I like to know. Well, I don't want to get into the sociology of some of this stuff. It's boring.
Let's move on then.
Okay.
Well, no, before
talk about
we do.
Tech news.
This is tech news. Before we do, are these Ultrabooks going to be a success or not?
Depends on what they look like. It's all
they look
be
like MacBook Airs.
You
then
have
I'd
a
say
Mac
yes.
8 ball
ask me in February.
February. And is CES going to be loaded with Ultrabooks and loaded
oh,
with.
God. Oh, God, yes.
And loaded with Windows 8 tablets? That's what we're going to see.
Wasn't it loaded with Windows 8 tablets last year?
That'll be the dog. Yeah.
Not Windows 8, but it was loaded with Windows
8 tablets.
You
know, when you boot Windows 8 tablets, it howls.
Werewolves of London. Going to move on. By the way, speaking of female CEOs, IBM just named a new CEO, Virginia Rometty.
Yeah, did you see that? I was looking at this picture of her. I was doing the another show that I do, Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, dhunplugged.com.
It's only got two guys, but it's the same two guys every time.
Yes. It's just like any
You're
two.
Just lazy.
It's like a couple two.
So here's Virginia Rometty. You're
she
looking at the
picture. She looks like a cheerleader in the publicity photo that I've
been. That is not a recent photograph.
And then you see
then
her.
She looks like a grandmother in the
she
other
She looks
photograph.
Like a grandmother in the other photos, and she looks like
well,
a cheerleader.
Let's so just say she is a lovely woman next to all her other qualifications, and I believe she was an engineer at IBM for 12 years
she's
prior
a
to this.
Former she's senior vice years. President and group executive for sales, marketing, and strategy.
Yeah.
So she, obviously she came from USC. She was on the pom-pom team.
And I know a number of IBM employees who are, who think this was a really good thing.
Good. Good. I think we should be celebrating the rise of the female CEO.
I think it's sexist to do that.
You just said she looked like a cheerleader.
You did.
She did. But that's because they are the publicity department of IBM
picked
are the
some sexist picture.
That they figured they had to put this ridiculously flattering photo, and I don't think she demanded it. And the next thing you know, you see what she really looks like, and she's okay. Because I thought she was a dingbat, and then I saw what she really looks like.
Oh, yeah, there's a big difference.
Pretty girls are dingbats. You heard first here.
Yeah, well. I thought she was a dingbat. I did not
I
say
feel
that.
We are walking in a minefield.
Because of the USC picture.
She's very sensitive to these issues.
I am. Sorry.
She's a woman in this industry. You better be sensitive to these issues. This is
it's okay. I don't mind being called out once in a while. The fact of the matter is that was my feeling.
Right. And, you know, I think it is silly that they had to doctor the photo that way. But, you know, in our newsroom, the consensus, which we eventually came to, is it will be so nice when it's no longer news that a woman is CEO.
I
of a
think
tech
it's
company.
Already no longer news, and I'm surprised.
We're getting close.
Okay, so
I think the IBM thing was a low key announcement. They didn't make a big
here's
deal.
The picture
about it.
That here's the picture that IBM put out
it's
on
so
my screen.
It's so soft, focusy.
And here's an actual picture of her. There's not that's different. That's, I mean, not she's a very attractive woman. I'm not saying that. She's she's probably younger than me. But
it seems like there's a 15 to 20 year age difference between the two pictures.
This one's
there's another one that makes her look even older. So whatever.
Well, this is recent. This is October 5th.
Let's see what she does. She may be good. She may not be. IBM is fairly decent at putting in CEOs that can do the job, and they don't keep them there forever.
Sam Palmisano, IBM's worldwide sales are $99 billion. Is that right? In 2010, $99 billion?
Sounds about right.
Wow.
That you're heading in that direction.
That's still a big company. 99. You know, $1 billion more would have been $100 billion.
Yeah, they don't want to get carried away.
Yeah. So close. Maybe don't you think they could have just
the
pushed?
The meter doesn't have that extra digit
doesn't
on it.
Doesn't go to 100?
So they want to keep it down.
It was goes so to close. 11. $99 billion. There is some stuff going on in Congress I want to talk about. Lots to talk about in just a second. You know, Steve Martin asked me about a year ago.
Steve Martin, a comic?
Yeah, he said, is there any way,
are
Leo...
you hanging out with Steve, Steve Martin? Did he have an arrow through his head?
No. Okay. He's a big fan. He said, is there
he's
any...
He's a big fan?
He's a big fan.
He of this show?
No, 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 no. He's a big
of
fan.
Of what? Of you?
Of me. He's my personal fan. Huh. He listens to the radio show, and he listens to iPad Today. Anyway, Steve said to me, is there any way, Leo, is there any way that I could... collate my tweets, keep my tweets around, because he was writing some interesting stuff. He was using Twitter.
I asked you the same question once.
Well, and I told him Gina Trapani has a great app called ThinkUp at thinkupapp.com, but you have to run the server. You know, you have to install it as a server. So I went to Gina. I said, would you mind if Steve Martin used your app on your server? She said, no. He's been collating the apps, and now he's got a book. It's a Twitter book. He says, due to absolutely no demand, soon I'm publishing a book of my tweets. Many of your replies included all profits to charity. So there you go. There's the connection.
Cool.
Mm. Isn't that cool? I think that's neat.
It's interesting.
He's very funny, actually.
The replies, though, doesn't it make you think about copyright issues? I love Steve Martin. And I would never.
Okay. Here's an example. He says he was.
Leo, are you going to listen to it on.
He's a comic.
I will. You know, okay.
If he reads it himself,
he read Standing Up, which is his memoir. It was wonderful.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
He did not read his last book, which is An Object of Beauty, which was a beautiful book. He did claim to be tweeting from jury duty.
That's illegal, I believe. And says, most of the time, they block you from keeping phones.
You know, it's so funny because he told me he was going on jury duty. I asked him if he'd go on this geek cruise with me. And he said, no, I have jury duty. He really did. And then he tweets from jury duty, report from jury duty, defendant looks like a murderer, guilty, waiting for opening remarks. But then he said he was just joking. I know, I like that. And the book is going to be called The 10, Make That 9, Habits of Very Organized People. Make that 10. He's the guy
that
who told me.
That's like more than 140 characters.
Yeah, maybe. He's the guy who told me I asked him, do you like the new iPhone 4? He said, it's great. He said, he didn't say it's great. He said, well, I'll tell you. He said, Apple took the great phone, and then they made it slippery and out of glass. And that was his thought. And that's true, too. Anyway, there you go. I'm going to take a break.
I'm surprised you're that complimentary.
Of the iPhone?
Yeah.
You know what? I went from an Android. I have a Galaxy S2, which I love. Is that the S2 or the S1?
This is the Nexus.
Oh, the Nexus.
Nexus S.
Yeah. I love the Galaxy
S2. It's got a Google logo on it.
Fantastic. But Siri, I'm kind of hooked on this. And the camera is really good.
The camera on that thing is unbelievable.
In fact, I know you're a camera buff.
What I was impressed with is that it takes pictures of documents better than any spy cam you can possibly imagine.
It's one of the new things. It's
beautiful pictures of documents.
There's a very hot app out there that does exactly that and turns the docs into PDFs. It's like a scanner.
It's the official phone of the milieu.
It is.
Welcome to the bubble, my friends.
Is. And that's why I reject it.
This show brought to you by Carbonite.com. Backup done right. If you're not backing up, you definitely have to, obviously. And if you were going to pick a backup program, what would you be looking for? Well, one that does it without you thinking automatically. One that keeps it off-site, right? So in case there's a fire or something bad or somebody breaks in and steals all your stuff, it's still safe. That's what Carbonite does. Whenever you're online, it automatically, securely, using 128-bit SSL, backs up your data to the cloud. Where, by the way, we talk about it as Carbonite backup, but it's cloud storage, too. You can access your Carbonite storage anytime, anywhere. You just log onto your Carbonite account. They even have iPhone, Android, apps, iPad apps, BlackBerry apps, so you can see your data. It's stored there. It's always safe. And then when you need it, easy to restore. Best part is it's $5, actually less than $5 a month, $59 a year, for virtually unlimited storage. It's everything on your internal drive, anything on that particular computer. Great for laptops. They get stolen. They get lost easily. Great for desktops. Great for students. Great for anybody who needs a reliable backup system but doesn't want to have to think about it. I use it. I put it on my family's stuff so they don't even have to know. But when they say, hey, I lost something, I say, or the hard drive died, I say, no problem, I got it. It's all backed up. You try it now free. Go to carbonite.com. And you see they have home and business. The home version is the $59 a year. You use the offer code TWIT. You could try it free for 2 weeks. You don't need a credit card. Just the name TWIT. And then if you decide to buy, we'll give you 14 months for the price of 12. Two free months extra. And if you do have backup on multiple computers across the business, look at the business version. It's really great. Carbonite, you got to back it up to get it back, so do it right with Carbonite. Justin Bieber.
Well, wait. What about this wine? What do you think? This What's one may this? Be good?
Cornerstone Cellars. I don't know. We get people bring us wine.
Yeah, I know. Why?
Because they know you're going to steal it. So they're keeping me... This is a great picture.
Oh,
this
now is... I wish I were in studio.
Are you a wino? I'm sorry, a wine drinker.
Wino. I'm a wino. I've had
Are you an enophile?
I am indeed an enophile, although in New Mexico we drink tequila for the most
there's
part.
A, there's yes, actually a couple yes. wineries, or at least one in New Mexico.
Gruet. They make fantastic sparkling wine.
Yeah, really? They're known for making a champagne-like wine, a sparkling
That sounds good.
Wine that is... Incredible.
Is it dry?
Yeah, it's like a champagne. It's from New Mexico.
It's a wonderful wine, and hopefully they will hear about this and send both of us a case.
Okay.
It must be made, though, at altitude, because I don't think the climate in New Mexico is salubrious for grapes.
What?
Salubrious for grapes.
I think I
just do that for him.
Well done.
He likes to do it.
I prepare words just for John. Oh, John's coming. Quick, give me a word.
He's got one of those calendars.
There's a word for words. I say to Eileen, I need a sesquipedalian word immediately. And she runs over with salubrious.
She runs, period.
She runs.
That's
over.
Because you're antediluvian.
So I am antediluvian.
So that wine is very famous. It is available, I believe, at D&M Liquors in San Francisco. I'll bring some up for you.
Thank you at that tip.
You'll love it.
Justin, this picture on RS Technica is very funny. Whoever did this, Justin Bieber with tattooed tears sitting in the cell. But you know what? It's actually a serious topic. He was talking on a Washington TV, I'm sorry, radio station, about this new bill.
The child entertainer is talking about a bill.
I think this is amazing. This kid is smarter than I thought.
We have the audio.
Go ahead. Let's hear it. This is Justin Bieber.
That's talking about a brand new bill pending in Congress about taking clips from artists and using them on YouTube and making it a felony. So if you were to sing a song... by Usher. We'll use him for example, since he's pretty influential in your career. If you were to use a song by Usher, sing it, put it on YouTube,
lip-sync
you'd go
it.
To jail.
Go to jail.
Who's trying to pass this law?
It's pending right now, and this is coming from Fox News. A senator from Minnesota is proposing the bill in May that would make, and this is the quote, make unauthorized web streaming of copyrighted material a felony. Illegal streaming would mean an offense that consists of 10 or more public performances by electronic means. So if it got played more than 10 times.
That guy needs to be locked up.
It's a she. So, I mean, and that's how you got your story.
All right, that's enough. I thought he might have heard of this bill, but apparently the disc jockey had to inform him, although he did a good job of talking about it.
We deconstructed this on the No Agenda
This is
show.
The House of Representatives. I'm sorry, this is the Senate version. Of the IP Protect Act.
We deconstructed this, and it was Fox News that took this in, and they trivialized it and made Bieber look like an idiot. It was just terrible. I think I just lost
10 IQ points listening to that clip.
And, of course, Bieber, as Bieber's lawyers, of course, do try to shut down people who sing Bieber songs. But the Protect IP Act is...
It doesn't protect anything.
It's horrible. It allows the government to pull down websites, basically... For no reason.
Let me just say something. I've said it again. I'll say it forever. There's all these arguments about, well, it protects the artist's rights. We have to protect the artist's rights. And Jolie will back me up on this. Most writers, for example, and most artists in general, to work for most of these companies today, you have to sign away your rights. And so they end up with your copyright. This doesn't protect anything but large corporations who have a lot of copyrights.
Exactly.
Disney being the perfect example.
Exactly.
This doesn't protect any artist. This is a bogus issue. If artists were being protected, they would have passed a law that says you can't give up your copyright.
Did you know that there is a person in the United States called the U.S. Intellectual Property Enforcement Coordinator?
There's a good job.
Her name, Victoria Espinel. This is her law. Online streaming of copyrighted content is a felony.
Oh,
we do this,
Mark
by the way, every
Zuckerberg
day.
Is going to jail.
I do this every freaking day, but I'm a news. I believe I have fair use. I'm a news organization.
I think you can be.
We just did it. That's copyright material from that Washington,
well,
that D.C. station.
You didn't even take a big clip there.
No, it doesn't matter.
Is that just online or does it apply to like...
Online streamers,
okay.
5 years in prison and a fine in cases where they show 10 or more public performances by electronics means. If 10 people watch this show, we'd be in real trouble. And the total retail value of those performances tops $2,500, or the cost of licensing such performances would be greater than $5,000.
Well, Bieber had the.
You're going to jail. I'm going to jail.
Yeah, you're the producer.
Actually, Eileen's going to jail, right?
Eileen's. She's.
She would do that for me. I think she would.
So the next Twit studio is going to be in what, Pelican Bay?
I'm getting a little tears tattooed.
It'll be like House. It'll be so good.
This can't pass, though, right? I mean, this
sure could.
This has no chance.
Well, not with, if we start complaining about it and get involved a little bit and send one or two letters. Doesn't take a lot to stop these things. But no, it probably won't pass, but it could.
So the issue
can
is,
pass, and they do.
Well, it depends on who's lobbying for it.
Well, Hollywood.
Obama and the Obama administration.
Obama.
They're for it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This woman works is, she's, okay. I'm sad to say.
Well, then it might. Who knows who's lobbying against
the FBI and other federal agencies can tap phones and internet connections.
Do we really have the time for this crap? I'm not us here in the studio, but does the government honestly have time to come and arrest you for this BS?
To do the bidding of Hollywood, yes, they do.
When we have actual problems?
They want to give wiretap authority so that the FBI can listen to my phone to see if I plan to play that Justin Bieber clip. You're going to jail, Eileen. You're going to jail.
We heard
she's
you
ready,
talking
I believe.
About this days in advance.
I was talking about it with Eileen on my phone, and they can tap me. Radio stations.
Where's this story?
This is Ars Technica, my friend, and a respected
Ars.
Journalistic entity.
Good operation.
I do actually like Ars a lot. Not as good as Venture.
No, they're actually, I love their work.
No, I think they're really
so
good.
I don't want to say academic, but it's really beautiful to read.
It's, yeah.
It's
not
a little academic.
It's not. It's detailed. It's not. They're not going for the SEO hit. They're not going for the quick read.
Nor should they.
Yeah, you said it again. Yeah. Radio stations pay cash to songwriters, right, for the music they play. It gets publishing rights. But you don't play. So if I play a Dixie Chicks song, the writer of the song,
right,
you know, Big Mama Thornton, she gets the
right,
money.
She gets the royalty.
But the Dixie Chicks don't because even though they performed it, that's because... the U.S. lacks a public performance right for recorded music.
They used to have that back in the 30s and 40s.
The music industry has been lobbying for it, but the radio stations...
once had it and lost it.
I mean, if you know anything about the record industry, you know that the artists themselves are just little lemons waiting to be juiced.
Yes,
and so
that's exactly...
of course it's not going to favor them.
She wants... the Obama IP czar wants the creation of public performance rights for music on the radio.
She's a czar now. I thought she was a coordinator.
They do require it for satellites and webcasting.
Okay.
Obviously, the broadcasting lobby, which has some clout, is fighting that one.
Mm.
And then there's a three strikes rule.
Mm. What happens to you then?
Yeah, go to jail. Go directly to jail. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200.
Come on. What's the three strikes? What's going to happen to
this
you?
This is the thing that WIPO, the World Intellectual Property Organization, has been pushing. By the way, they are merely an arm of the U.S. movie and music industry.
Oh, yeah.
Has been pushing worldwide. France basically approved it. Other countries have approved it. Where if you are accused, not convicted, but accused of copyright violations, BitTorrenting, for instance, three times, your internet access is pulled for life.
How can that be?
How could that be? I ask you.
Why don't you just go just get an account with someone else?
No. You become... you're on a list.
You're on a list. A no-fly list?
There's a no-surf list. I kid you not.
This is crazy.
It's crazy
talk.
This
is nuts.
It's insane.
What are you doing with a Clemson mug?
I don't know.
It's part of his Halloween costume. It is. I'm sure.
Is that bad?
No, I mean, you know, they lost, by the way.
Did they?
Finally.
Is that the Roll Tide
they
company?
They were a good team for until. What?
Nothing. I'm going to get the emails. Online hackers.
State of Alabama is going
Alabama,
to,
I get it.
I know. I'm going to hear from them forever. I said that once before, and I never heard the end of it. I know the difference. Anonymous. What is it? What is that rhyme, the Guy Fawkes rhyme? It's the 5th of...
Remember
the 5th of November.
Let me Google that for you.
I think that's it. Remember the 5th of November. Guy Fawkes was the guy in the 17th century who attempted to blow up Parliament.
Yeah, this is the reason that conspiracy laws exist.
Because of Guy Fawkes?
Yeah, that was the first considered and, to be... Because he didn't do anything, but it was considered a conspiracy. The conspiracy laws were invented.
He was the shoe bomber of his time.
It was invented because of Guy Fawkes, and now all the conspiracy convictions you have, you can thanks to Guy
Fawkes. And in Great Britain, they celebrate Guy Fawkes Day November 5th by burning Guy in effigy. They call it The Guy.
Yeah.
Not a guy, The Guy. But
and there's a good movie.
There's a wonderful movie called V for Vendetta. It's a documentary?
Yeah, isn't it?
Oh, it's a true story.
So you don't want to be that guy.
You don't want to be that guy.
No.
V for Vendetta, and they wear the mask, right? And it's an insurrection and blah,
and
blah,
I
blah.
I suppose now for your new show, it's going to be V for Veronica, because you got the new show, right?
Should we announce that on the air, live? Tell everybody? We got a new gaming show.
Did. Chug I, away.
Chug away. We're going to start November 13th, I think. Maybe that's the rehearsal, November 20th for the launch. It's going to be called Game On. It will follow Twit right after Twit.
Is she going to be in the studio here?
Yes, Veronica
so she's
Belmont.
She's going to actually drive this miserable trip up
every
here off 101.
Week.
It takes hours.
You know,
hours.
Worse than that, Brian Brushwood's going to fly here from Austin every week to do the show.
What?
Brian Brushwood, Veronica Belmont. I'm very excited. Game On. And then right after Game On, we have a LAN party, which you're all invited to. You don't game.
I do tabletop gaming.
I don't think we're going to have to.
I don't think
we're going to play Carcassonne in the LAN party. Maybe. I don't know. Which one do you like? Settlers of Catan? You play that?
I really Catan's good. Be talking about it.
What is your game?
You know,
Dungeons and Doom?
No, I used to play Dungeons a lot of Doom. Magic the Gathering.
Magic?
I played a little
you play
D&D,
Magic?
And I played a little bit of
Pikachu?
Oh, God.
Come on.
Vampire the Masquerade.
Oh, yeah.
But
you
not
like
LARPing.
But you like...
Never LARPing.
No LARPing for her.
No.
But you like the card games.
I did.
They're fun. No, they're really
Anything
fun.
Anything with multi-sided die, I'm a big fan.
We could play Werewolf.
Nice.
Anyway, we will have a LAN party shortly after, and we will invite people like Jolie. You know what? You're going to like this because we're going to have PC gaming. We've got Doghouse Systems gave us some nice, really nice PC gaming systems down the aisle there. But we're also going to have a little living room set up with Xbox and Kinect, and you could do Dance Central with me.
I'm not much of a dancer.
Oh, it's fun.
Okay.
They teach you. That's the whole game.
Okay.
They teach you and you dance.
For
it's
you,
fun.
I would do it.
Yeah, it's like dance.
Okay.
It's great. Anyway, that's going to start
Rolling
next month.
Rolling eyes.
And, you know, okay, so the game show is going to be called Game On. And the show after, the LAN party is going to be Shut Up and Play.
Now, the question remains, is she quitting the Rev3 company? Or is
no,
she going to
no,
do
no,
a double
no, no,
duty?
No, no, no,
she's
no, no,
going to
no.
be working all over the place? You're kind of...
She, you know what? She did leave Core, which was a show she did for Sony on gaming. And she told me she's very excited because, she was on Core. She was, supposed to be
objective.
You know
she used to work for Calacanis? Your
Briefly, she worked at Mahalo. Yeah. Briefly. She and I share an antipathy, I believe. She will never say that, but I believe. You know,
we'll try to word it. We'll
like
worm
salubris.
It out of her. We'll try
but
to worm it
anyway,
out.
Anyway, I love V. She's great. She's gonna.
She hates me.
She got over that, I thought, because you said something bad about her.
I said she wasn't a geek technically,
she's such
as
a geek.
And chicks hate it when you say that.
But she is a
they
geek.
Do.
Yeah,
when you say that she's not a geek,
but she is a geek. She's by far the geekiest person I've met.
Chicks hate that when you say that. It's probably true.
So she was because it's
yeah exactly it's diminution.
No, it's not. I just said it was a casual thing. I was
Veronica
nothing to do
is
with
very
it.
Geeky. Trust me.
Well, that's fine and dandy, but that's not what I was implying. It was a long thing. I tried to explain it, but the worst part was was the nasty pen letters and the poison pen letters and all the email that I got from all her
because
fans.
She is one of the most beloved geeks in America.
Fine.
Just want to say that.
Well, all I know is that, I've tried to get her a Star Trek
I
uniform and she wouldn't,
Yeah, that was not a good start.
She wouldn't take my
She kept trying to get her in an 8 of 9 uniform?
She took the uniform. We had a show. She was on it and she agreed to
Eight of nine?
Eight of nine.
Six of four.
Eight of nine.
53.
It just deteriorated. I don't know. I've just probably never
been. I'm not a geek. I'm not. I never said I was a geek.
She'll be snubbing me when she.
I'm just a fine-looking announcer. That's all. That's my job here.
With a sonorous, beautiful
voice. I have
voice.
A sonorous voice.
Yes, you do.
And I use sesquipedalian nomenclature to entertain. Yeah, seven of nine? Is that how many it was?
Is this a Borg reference?
Yeah.
Oh, from Star Trek?
Yeah, Jerry Ryan.
Okay. Good stuff. I thought Leo said he couldn't afford Veronica.
I couldn't. She's very expensive. She's quality.
I'll just leave it at that.
She's quality. She's quality. We finally got some talent in this building. She's almost as much as you are, actually.
Whatever that means.
Silence is overwhelming.
It's such awkward conversation out of context in particular.
Okay, back to the topics.
Yeah, let's go back to talking
so
about
V.
Not V. There's more tech news.
Yeah, it's tech news. The group Anonymous says they're going to attack November 5th Fox News and Facebook.
November when?
5th. Remember, the 5th
of
November.
That's like, the first on Tuesday, so it's going to be, Saturday? You're going to do it over the weekend?
Over the weekend. That's a good time to attack.
Why?
Because nobody's there. I don't know.
Sounds like a bad time to attack, because you want to attack when there's a load on the system.
Right.
So I don't know.
I would think you'd want to attack when their security people are off doing something else and inaccessible
on the lake with their kids.
There you go.
One of the two.
Now, of course, there was a flood in Thailand, and we've been hearing, of course, about some terrible devastation
there,
Bangkok.
So I go to Costco. They got a big sign up. It says, limited to 2 hard disks.
They're afraid of a run.
So I bought myself one disk. I bought I couldn't believe it. A 3-terabyte drive for $129, and I suppose
it's
even cheaper someplace, but it's $50 a terabyte, less than $50, $45.
Isn't that mind-boggling?
It's mind-boggling.
So hard drive prices going up rapidly, 50% increase, because this is like when Johnny Carson said that there was going to be a run on toilet paper and everybody believed him and the supermarkets were cleaned out. It's self-fulfilling prophecy. But the floods in Thailand, most of these hard drives, I didn't know this, about a quarter of all hard drives are manufactured in Thailand. And all the major vendors, Western Digital, Seagate, everybody, they're affected. Western Digital said it may see a revenue decline of 60% due to this because they'll only be able to produce 22 to 26 million drives. That's half what they normally produce.
And cars use them, and there's all kinds of issues.
Yeah.
Here.
So the factories are waiting for them to dry before they can restart the tools. Seagate says
are the vendors who are raising their prices here, are the retailers, are they the ones who are in the just-in-time mode?
Yeah, no.
Were they
kind of capitalizing on the opportunity.
Yeah. Costco didn't raise their prices.
They didn't. But they said only 2, which is good. Yeah. Look at this. Buy.com expand a 2-terabyte external hard drive, $128. Seagate Free Agent GoFlex, 2-terabyte, $99 on Amazon.
That's a good deal.
Amazing. 2 terabytes.
Yeah.
USB 3?
Yeah.
And it's an external.
You know, that USB 3 thing, I have yet to get it to work right.
Well, you need a USB 3. I don't know. Ask Ed.
I've got 3 USB 3 ports.
Ed's the PC expert.
It says USB 3. You stick it in there and the machine goes, I don't know, I don't care.
Is that true, Ed, or is it hard to get USB 3 up and running?
Drivers.
It's all about drivers.
It's always drivers.
We're going to wrap with a sad story. Should I not say a sad story to wrap?
You start
with
a sad story.
With
you might as well.
Well, it's another death.
Oh, really?
Is this going to be taxes?
No, John McCarthy, the man who invented Lisp, died this week. So that's the three now. We've had the three, so we can stop. With Steve Jobs, Dennis Ritchie, who invented Unix.
There you
go. And now,
showbiz lore.
Yep. It must be true. Cause
I think it is true.
Is it really?
It's also part of the random number theory, if you ever really understand how random
numbers work. No, really? There's actually a justification for the rule of three?
Well, the three just happens to be a coincidence. Sometimes it's four, but generally speaking,
how many people
are
on that show, X3?
Three.
Oh.
Ooh.
If they all die in 1 week, it's a...
They did.
The show is dying.
Successfully.
But you know what? It's just the beginning, because what's really happening, which is obvious, is it's funny. I was talking to somebody who said, you know, the AARP, the American Association of Retired People, is really trying to help seniors understand technology. And they really want to help, especially people over 50, understand technology. Huh. I said, for crying out loud, We invented technology. What are you talking about?
It's the people, obviously the editors and those people that run these, the suits.
The suits don't get it.
They don't get it.
Steve Jobs, over 50. Bill Gates, over 50. I mean, for you're practically 50.
Well, this is outside the milieu. I was actually talking to AARP at Demo, which is in partnership with VentureBeat. And, you know, you've got these very high-tech companies that are doing really interesting things that are focused on not just boomers in their 50s, but their parents
the
in their 70s and their
boomers.
Homebound.
Boomers. Right.
They want to get boomers.
Boomers.
Yeah, they want to get boomers. They
boomers.
But I got to tell you, the computer industry was started by boomers.
Not all boomers. Some
no,
boomers.
But it's a little patronizing to say, well, you're over 50. Technology must really baffle you.
Yeah, I can help you across the street
later,
by the way.
It must be baffling to people over 50. How do you understand such complex things? Anyway, John McCarthy passed away, creator of Lisp, which is undoubtedly, unquestionably, the best programming language ever written.
Ooh. Unquestionably? You
I don't
say
think
that?
There's
wow.
any question. There's no question.
Oh, let the flame war begin.
It is the so. Programming
well,
language.
Well, at least he didn't say fourth.
I love fourth.
Ah. Oh.
You know that? Did you know that Lisp is the second oldest high level programming language?
Yeah, I question that.
It was invented in 1956. That's as old as I am. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you have enjoyed this edition of Outside the Milieu.
Don't forget the week ahead.
We would normally stop right now, but thank goodness Tom Merritt's in the newsroom with the latest.
Oh, is
on
he?
The
is
week.
He here? Is Tom here?
Tom's here. He's got
because I want to ask him some questions.
Some of the stories we'll be keeping an eye on for Tech News Today in the coming week. All week long, the Bay Area Science Festival is going on right up until November 6th. Coming up this Wednesday, November 2nd, Yahoo is expected to announce their Flipboard-like newsreader called LiveStand. Shortly thereafter, we may get one from Google, either called Propeller or something else. Thursday, November 3rd, Canon is planning a Hollywood event, rolling out the red carpet there. And we're also hearing rumors about a red Scarlett Ooh. Camera to be announced. Could they be linked? Ooh. We'll find out Thursday. And then Saturday, November 5th, Guy Fawkes night. And of course, Anonymous is going to be up to stuff. They say they're going to go after the Facebook and Fox News websites and show up in person at a bunch of banks. All that and more is what we'll be keeping an eye on.
Oh, thank
hey,
you, Tom.
Hey, Tom, Merritt. Tom, before you go, I wonder, where's that science festival in, where is that? Where is that? That's what I like, no, where is it? Tom, hello.
You know, that's an interesting question, John. I'm going to have to get back to you because I have to go cover this thing right now. But hold that thought, and next time you're on Tech News Today, we'll talk about it.
Yeah, right. Good work. I was wondering how long it would take.
Just keep trying. Tom Merritt and Tech News Today with Ayaz Akhtar and Sarah Lane on every Monday through Friday, 2:30 in the afternoon. You get your daily fix of tech news with people who actually know what they're talking about on the TWIT network. Eileen Rivera, our esteemed producer, is scary looking, but don't be scared from All About Android. That's her show. They talk all about Android, and there's lots to talk about this week. There's going to be a honeycomb. And, you know, are you going to – do you talk about – excuse me, scary face. Do you talk about the Google TV because
yes,
they're putting honeycomb on it this week too?
Yes, we do.
That will be very interesting.
Google TV talk.
I'm going to upgrade. I'm pulling the Google TV out, dusting it off, plugging it in and upgrading it because I want to see what 3.1 looks like on a Google TV. When is All About Android, scary person?
Mondays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern.
Ed Bott, you're so great. We got to get you on more. I always enjoy working with you. It's just a pleasure. Ed is also one of the smartest guys in the business because he does live outside the bubble. ZDNet.com/blog/BOTT or follow him on Twitter at Ed Bott. You don't use the Google Plus?
I did, and I sort of gave up on it because it just wasn't working for me.
Gosh, I love Google Plus so much, but I think I'm the only one.
Orkut too. Elgin, you're talking about somebody who loves
outside
it.
The
Mike
milieu.
Elgin's unbelievable.
It just doesn't.
Nobody's using it outside the milieu, but there are 40 million people using it inside the milieu.
The milieu.
Shows you how big the milieu is.
It's big.
40 million users.
It's huge.
Jolie Odell, the Irish French girl who is just like a cowboy. You'll find her at VentureBeat.com. Mm-hmm. So great to have you. Thank you for coming.
Well, thank you, sir.
I appreciate it on this Halloween Eve. John C. Dvorak is at ChannelDvorak.com and X3.mevio.com.
And?
NoAgendaShow.com. Did I miss anything?
Yeah, lots.
It's impossible, John. You do so many freaking things.
I barely get by. You're the guy who does all the real work.
I do 10 shows. I shouldn't complain. I do 10 shows.
10 shows. Unbelievable. A lot of them are daily. And you're on the air all the time. The cameras are on 24/7.
Constantly.
They're
going to follow me into the men's room right after this show. Thank you, everybody, for being here. We really appreciate it. You can watch this show 3 p.m. Pacific time, 6 p.m. Eastern, 2200 UTC at twit.tv. Live is fun because it's unexpurgated. But if you prefer to be purgated, you would watch after the fact. We have audio and video for your download pleasure at twit.tv. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week. Another twit is in the can.
This is amazing.